This episode of Robinson Podcast is brought to you by DC Universe, the ultimate DC membership where you can watch, read, shop, and connect. Catch up on original series like Titans, and starting on November 29th, watch their newest adult animated series, Harley Quinn. Visit www.dcuniverse.com/podcast1. Use promo code ROBPODCAST to start your free trial. That's at www.dcuniverse.com/podcast1. Use promo code ROBPODCAST to start your 14-day free trial. This code is valid through December 31st, 2019. This episode of Robin's Podcast is sponsored by Warner Brothers Digital Networks, the operator of DC Universe. DC Universe is only available in the U.S. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who skips the continental breakfast, goes right to the omelet station. I am Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Rob Has a Podcast feedback show for episode number 11 of Survivor Island of the Idols. And we've got one of our great friends joining us for the show today. I'm very excited to have Brett LaBelle back with us here for the holidays on Thanksgiving weekend to join me to talk about everything that's going on after this week's show. Hope everybody had a nice Thanksgiving in the U.S. over these last couple of days. I got to spend a lot of time with my children, and I am so happy to be back here podcasting with you, talking about Survivor. We had our Survivor know-it-alls this week. Steve Fishback was back on the show with us on Wednesday night. That was a lot of fun. And then I really enjoyed the podcast with Andrea. For some reason, you didn't get that one or skipped over it and got right into this. Definitely check out my conversation with Andrea. She has a lot of really great stories, including what happened to her real life hidden immunity idol after the show. So lots of great stuff from the episode with Andrea in the podcast feed. Still no word on exit interview. If I was a betting person, I would be betting that we are probably not going to hear from Elizabeth on our exit interview podcast this week. But we will get through this. We will get by. Hopefully we do hear from her, and hopefully she does do at least some version of the exit press here over the next couple of days. And we're just disappointed. We're not angry. We're not going to take to Twitter to talk about this, but would love to get some exit interviews back going on this season at some point, if that could be a thing. Anyway, Black Friday. Also, if you're listening to this over the holiday weekend, robhasawebsite.com/merch. Everything in our Rob Has a Podcast merch store, including the Island of the Idols Rob and Steven t-shirt and much more is available. Everything is marked down 15% off. Our patrons got a code for an additional discount emailed on Friday morning. Make sure you maybe check your spam if you don't see that right away. robhasawebsite.com/merch. Before we get Brett on the line, also a quick two things. One is that our live show in Brea is coming up on Wednesday. If you want to get out and see us, robhasawebsite.com/Brea at the Brea Improv on Wednesday night. Should be a fun show on Wednesday. The Know-It-Alls, who's going to be at midnight Eastern, will be live if you want to watch the stream of the show if you can't make it out there. And then before we get to Brett, this episode of Rob Has a Podcast is brought to you by DC Universe. You heard me mention at the top of the show, the ultimate DC membership for us DC fans who want to watch DC movies and shows, read our favorite DC comics, shop exclusive merchandise, and connect with other fans. DC Universe is home to original series like Titans, Doom Patrol, Young Justice, Outsiders, and starting on November 29th, you can check out Harley Quinn featuring Kaley Cuoco. This adult animated series features Harley as she breaks things off with the Joker. Will she be the newly liberated queenpin of Gotham City? Catch new episodes on Fridays. Love comic books? Well, DC Universe is the place for you. Get access to over 20,000 digital comics all at your fingertips. This includes classics like The Dark Knight Returns, Crisis on Infinite Earths, Kingdom Come, and All-Star Superman, as well as today's hottest books. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. Watch new animated films like Batman, Hush, and Reign of the Superman. Enjoy classic animated series remastered in HD, like Aquaman and Batman Beyond. Binge fan favorite DC series like Constantine and Birds of Prey, and watch classic DC movies like Batman, Batman Returns, and Superman. DC Universe is available on your favorite devices with this special 14-day free trial promo code. Now is definitely the time to experience the ultimate DC membership. Visit www.dcuniverse.com/podcast1 and use promo code ROBPODCAST to start your free trial. Again, that's www.dcuniverse.com/podcast1. Use promo code ROBPODCAST to start your 14-day free trial. That code is valid through December 31st, 2019. This episode of Rob is a Podcast is sponsored by Warner Brothers Digital Networks, the operator of DC Universe. DC Universe is only available in the United States. All right, everybody. I'm very excited to bring in our guest for our feedback show to answer all these questions about the latest episode of Survivor. Of course, we first met this man on Millennials versus Gen X. We watched him race around the world. Please welcome my great friend, Mr. Brett LaBelle.
Dang, Brett, how are you? There's the bell. There's the bell, Rob. It's so good to be here. It's been too long. I've been it's been since the live show in New York, but I feel like I need to speak. I need to speak on this season. I need to speak on to my friends and your fans. Alex Rubino. We could go on forever. Okay, these people are very important to me, and they need to hear from Brett LaBelle. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Okay. Well, I'm so happy to have you back here on the podcast.
Johnny Lou. Shout out.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. All of the listeners are very excited for you to come back and talk with us here on Thanksgiving weekend, Brett. Thank you for making some time to talk with us. How was your Thanksgiving?
It was great, Rob. It was great. I had a good time. I watched some football. I was rooting for the Lions because of my boy Matt Patricia as the coach. With the Pats, good guy, but they didn't win. They didn't pull it off, so I'm a little bummed out.
Do you know him?
No, I don't know him. No, I know lots of people, but I have not met Matt Patricia. But I do, you know. Listen, I watched him on TV for many years, coaching the defense of the Patriots, and I'm just a huge fan. So I like what he's doing with the team, and I think they're going to go somewhere. Plus, they always play Thanksgiving, Rob. They play every year at Thanksgiving. Yeah. You got to root for them. You know what I mean?
Brett, do you cook at all, or do you leave to your family?
I do cook, Rob. I'm an excellent cook.
What do you make?
So sometimes we have the Thanksgiving here at my house, but this time I had to go to my dad's. So I cook whatever you want. I'm really good with steaks. I'm good with chicken now. Salmon. I cook up a good salmon. So I'm pretty good. I'm pretty good. I can cook whatever you want. You know what I mean?
Okay. Do you prepare any of the Thanksgiving meals?
Yes. Well, I do. So when we have it here, I do most of it. I cook the turkey. My mother, my stepmother and my father cook up some stuff too. So, I mean, you know, everybody brings a little bit, you know what I mean? I don't have like a signature dish if you're getting it that. I know. You know, they'll tell you bring this or bring that. So you cook up the stuff and then you cook up the mashed potatoes or something. You bring that. You know what I mean? So. It's all good.
Okay. Outside of Thanksgiving, how's everything else been going?
Well, everything's good, man. It's been real busy. I've been running around. I've been trying to get some Survivor stuff in. Like, I've been hanging out with a bunch of Survivors lately, which is kind of good. And
Usual crew, or do you have a new friend?
Trisha Haggerty, who I know you've had on and said some very kind words about me. Love that woman. She's great. She's hawking these new shirts called Where's Whitey, like crazy. Right now she's down at the Cape Cod Mall, and she's set up a little table,
a little kiosk.
And you can go down there and you can get stoned and you can buy a Whitey, Where's Whitey shirt. It's great. She's got quite a little thing going on there, you know. And I actually would just hang
up. Wait, when you say get stoned, is that a euphemism?
Well, it's probably a contact high with Trish. You know what I mean?
Okay.
You know, because you really don't even have to smoke it. You just stand next to her and you're going to be flying high, if you know what I mean. And but I love Trisha. I saw her around Halloween. Zeke came into town. Me, Zeke, Larry, and Trish went down to Spooky Bear down in Provincetown, which.
Spooky bear.
It's as spooky as it sounds, my friend. It's as spooky as it sounds. All the gays out there know exactly what I'm talking about. I'm not going to get into it, okay? But anyway,
I'm getting really confused.
Oh God, well, Trisha was so funny. So, but yeah, she is hawking these shirts like it's going crazy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, where's Whitey? Because there are great white sharks that have invaded Cape Cod. Right?
That's correct. And the true reason why is because the seal population, they stopped hunting the seals. A lot of the fishermen, which was bad because they were almost extinct up here. And back in the 70s, they took off the so you couldn't hunt the seals anymore. So now the seals population is like over. It's crazy. There's too many seals everywhere you go. Yeah. Seal, you know, you go in the bar, there's a seal sitting next to you, and not the guy from England who sings. And so now these sharks are coming up to feed because, you know, they eat seals. So now there's all this food's plentiful. So they said, hey, let's get out. We're sick of Australia. Let's go up to New England and start eating the seals and the people. So, yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. But she is hawking these shirts. She's going crazy.
How are they selling?
I guess they're selling pretty good because she had to order some more. And she's got different colors now, which is kind of exciting, you know?
Okay. All right. Well, I really appreciated when Trish came on with me. She lost her power that night that we were in New York and we had a big storm hit us with the know-it-alls. And then the storm went up the Northeast and then her power got knocked out and she was driving around and trying to make sure that she found a way to still talk to me that day. So I really appreciate that.
Yeah, she's nuts. I love her. But yeah, so yeah, I've been hanging with her, Zeke, Larry, it's been good. It's been good. Trisha and I have become really good friends because she's so close to me, you know, so that's been fun, you know.
And yeah, and we had made that date to do a podcast
Rob, I forgot to tell you.
Yes.
Did she talk about or was she ever bring up her friend Dusty? Her friend Dusty was came down to. Is she not a hoot? Oh, my God. Is she fun?
Dusty is Trish's friend.
Trish's friend Dusty, yeah. She'll the next time she's on the podcast, ask about her friend Dusty. She'll tell you all about it. So right. Funny.
Learn all about Dusty and Spooky Bear
Whitey. It was a crazy weekend. Weekend.
I was just saying that I made that date to podcast with Trish when I called in on your podcast in the Drunk Tank.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Yeah, it was our 10th episode in the Drunk Tank with Brett and Larry, which we have so much fun doing. It's been very tough because Larry's been jet setting, but we are going to get a couple more episodes in for December. Thank you, Rob, for doing that. We had our 10th episode. We had a big party in the Drunk Tank and everyone was here. And you were nice enough to call in. Chris Hammonds called. A bunch of people called in. Sunday Burquist.
Well, you got Chris Hammonds?
Yes, my bitch. He has to do these things. I make him do these things, you know. Like Karishma keeps a idol under her in her armpit. I keep Chris's balls in under my armpit. So there you have it. So he has to do these things for me. So he called in reluctantly. He's working on a big case. He took 5 minutes out of his day. Please. From trying to screw some poor cop to call me and talk to the Drunk Tank. You know what I mean?
Okay. All right. Brett.
It's good to be back, Rob. It's good to be back here on Rob's podcast. I missed all you folks. And what a season we have, buddy. This is crazy. Thank God we have nothing crazy to talk about today. We're going to be very nice, Rob. We're going to talk happy things, fun things, you know, getting ready for Christmas here. You know what I mean?
The countdown is on.
That's right.
Okay. All right. Brett, so many things to talk about with this episode. We have, you know, a lot of voicemails, a lot of emails and questions for you. Let me start off by bringing in this question from one of our great listeners. Mr. John Tinkham has a question for you about the host of Survivor, Mr. Jeff Probst.
Hey, Rob and Brett, this is John. Is Jeff doing all right? Early in the season, he had Jamal finishing some of his sentences for him. After the newest episode, you know, when he was trying to show people the food and he didn't get the reaction he wanted, he just seemed completely lost. little afraid for him about what's going to happen if he doesn't get the reaction he thinks he's going to get at the family visit. Is he lost without Jamal? Thanks.
Okay. Brett, we had a really fun episode where Lauren got to go to the Island of the Idols and tell everybody about what was coming with the challenge to eat or compete. And then they had the opportunity to eat unlimited breakfast. But unfortunately, that Jeff Probst did not get the reaction that he was hoping for when he revealed the breakfast to everybody.
Wait a minute. I didn't hear a single reaction to pancakes, hash browns, bacon. I gotta check in. Wait a minute. Did we guess wrong? Is this not appealing?
Yeah. I remember that. I appreciate John bringing this up, because this scene frustrated the crap out of me, Rob. And I'm sure that you can understand why, being a player. Lest anyone believe that Jeff has been asleep for the past 48 hours, he knows that Lauren not only knows about the breakfast, but that she told everyone.
Yeah.
It's a completely ridiculous. And I heard you and Fishback talking about it. But I thought it was ridiculous. I thought it was ridiculous. I don't know what they're trying to say. Oh, Jeff doesn't know what's going on. He knows everything that's going on out there. Right?
Yeah.
Right?
I think that he knew that she told everybody, but I think that they were still expecting, like, when, you know, you go to a restaurant, like that night that that me and you and Chris Hammonds and Adam Klein had dinner in Boston, and, you know, we ordered a bunch of food. And we knew what we were getting. And then when they brought it out and they said, oh, look at this. Oh, this looks good. Look at these steaks. We didn't just sit there like, when they put the food in front of us. And like,
first off, that was Del Frisco's Grill. We spared no expense for that meal. That was a wonderful meal. Yes. And that was down the seaport in Boston. Excellent, excellent food. But I think it was you made this suggestion that they should have just put it back on, and Jeff said, take two. You guys got to be excited about breakfast. Like, I think, but listen, maybe he's just, they're like, oh, just show it. It's funny. You know, I don't know. Maybe they're looking for some humor. I guess it is kind of good for humor, because Jeff was, you know.
Yeah, I mean, Jeff was beside himself.
I know. He stole my thunder.
I know. And they're just trying to sell this. Oh, okay. So you learned it. I don't know, the Idols. That makes sense now. But get the hell out of here. Stop it. You know? And you know why they're not excited, Jeff? Because it's breakfast.
Oh.
You
know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. I said it. I said it, Rob.
Well, Jeff, he wanted to make sure that they got it right. He asked them this.
Now it makes sense. Yeah. This is worth playing for, right?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Okay.
First
off, that isn't it literally not worth playing for? That isn't the idea that it's not a reward. It's not, if you win the challenge, you get to eat the breakfast. It's either you eat breakfast or you're playing for immunity. It's not worth playing for.
No, it's not. It's not for breakfast. And I mean, we had a whole twist to it. Like, they had the four, you know, they obviously, Lauren talked people into eating because she was trying to win an idol and stuff like that. So there's more to that story. But the thing is, you know, it's a horror. It's pancakes. And like, I actually agree with you, or maybe Steve, somebody who said this takes away from the final breakfast.
Yeah.
Day 13 breakfast.
And I agree. Steve said, I wouldn't know about the final breakfast.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. But I'll tell you, it's something that I've dreamed about for years watching the show. Like, how awesome would that feeling be? Waking up on day 39, knowing it's over. Knowing, you know, I mean, not over, mm-hmm. but you know what I'm saying. It's your last day. You're going to have to live out there. And I just think it's so awesome. And then to have a breakfast right before is ridiculous. And secondly, who the hell wants a Fijian breakfast? I mean, the only thing that they screw up worse than breakfast is pizza. But I'll tell you, when I came off, and I am not for this. I do not want the reward to not be breakfast. OK, folks, it's like, OK, this drives me nuts. People go, Brett, we're having you over for dinner. Oh, by the way, we decided to do breakfast for dinner. I'm sorry. I'm out the door. I'm doing an about face and I'm gone, because I did not come here for breakfast. I came here for dinner. I'm not one of these people that want breakfast for dinner, Rob.
What about like a 24 hour diner? You would never get breakfast for dinner?
After 2 a.m. Okay, so if you're in Vegas, which I just was with Randy Bailey and Chris Hammond.
Yeah, I want to hear about
you're in
that.
Vegas, tell me that. Yeah. Absolutely. After 2 or 3 in the morning, now you can start the breakfast clock. But when you're talking about dinner, I'm talking 6 or 7 o'clock at night, maybe 8 if you're a late eater. You do not shove eggs in front of me unless it's on a hamburger. I'm going to go. I've realized how great egg over easy tastes on a hamburger. However, that being said, if you're going to throw eggs and bacon and stuff like that, there is no or pancakes. There is no breakfast for dinner. It doesn't exist. It shouldn't exist. It's un-American. I don't like it. Now, that being said, let's get back to Fijian breakfast. Are you with me?
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you.
So when I get voted out on day 37 during Millennials versus Gen X, I go. We come out. Everyone, you can see it on my Ponderosa. We have a big party. We drink all night. We have a great time. I wake up the next morning. I come in. Now I want to have my first breakfast. You know, I'm all upset. I got my first cup of coffee, Rob, in 37 days. I was all excited. 38 days, really, by that point. So I'm all excited. I'm having my coffee. Sunday comes in. You know, Chris is running around. And Sunday brings me over to the breakfast table. She's like, now you can have whatever you want. Pick what you want. And I literally look down. And I go, oh, look, spaghetti. That's always good for breakfast. It was a big plate of spaghetti with meat sauce.
It was dinner for breakfast.
What in the hell is going on in Fiji? Like, spaghetti for breakfast? Who the hell is eating spaghetti for breakfast?
Now, hold on, hold on.
The ridiculous thing I've ever heard of in my entire life.
First
off, not even Italians do that, crying out loud.
I know you said you were up drinking the night before. What time did you wake up? Is it possible you woke up at like 4 o'clock in the afternoon?
No, the sun was up. It was like 8 or 9. It was like 7 or 8 in the morning, you know. But yeah. Oh my God. I am not for the breakfast reward. Ridiculous.
All right.
Unacceptable. The only breakfast is day 39, period.
All right. A couple of things. One, is it possible that this challenge took place at like 8:30 in the morning?
Okay. I still don't want it. I mean, you're starving. You want protein. You want, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know, man. Like,
maybe second,
put some bacon on the side for a hamburger, but it feels like these rewards are getting weaker. I don't know. I just didn't like it.
Second, that day 39 breakfast, I feel like that the centerpiece of the day 39 breakfast is the eggs, is the omelet station. Is there a differentiation there? Yeah, sometimes you see somebody, they do make a pancake, but these pancakes are already made. It's really that the survivors, I feel like really, from what I can see, they really go into the eggs.
Yes, and that's fine. Again, I just think, you know, I believe it does take away from the day 39 breakfast. I really do. I think I just think stay away from breakfast. We know that on day 39, we're going to get a big breakfast for the three people that are still there. So until then, we want meat. We want grilled cheeses. That was cool. You know, grilled cheeses and beer. Give something like that. How about some beers? How about some? Well, they did give mimosas, so I do applaud them on that. Everyone likes it. Mimosa. So I do think it probably was in the morning, the challenge, and that they just said, oh, this will be good, you know, or they just got lazy and they didn't want to make, you know, anything else. But listen,
is it possible that
it can't be worse than the pizza? At least it wasn't pizza. Yeah. I mean, let's face it. The Fijian pizza is cardboard with some sauce on it, you know, not and sauce is probably being too nice, you know.
Brett, is it possible that they listen to what the survivors are talking about? Because listen to how excited Lauren is when she actually first hears about breakfast from Rob and Sandra.
There's going to be food.
Pancakes, bacon, hash browns, and orange juice.
Breakfast.
She seems excited about breakfast. Is it possible that she was talking up breakfast and then they felt like, okay, well, let's put something out there that the players are talking about? Do they change up the reward based on what the survivors are asking for?
Rob, if it was anyone else, I might agree with you, but it's Lauren. Lauren was excited to see Rob and Sandra, who she knew was out there before she got there. So I think she's putting on a little facade for everyone, you know? And yes, I'm not buying that they don't know that they're there. I'm not. It's day 30. They're all talking. I mean, you get Nora, who can't keep a secret for the life of her, okay? You're telling me she hasn't told everyone that she met Boss and Rob and Sandra? I'm complete nonsense. Everyone knows who's on that island and who they're going to see. I'm saying that right now. Fact.
Yeah. It is day 30 now. It is pretty wild that there are still people that might not know Rob and Sandra are out there.
It's completely insane. There's nothing to talk about, folks. There's no way production can keep that quiet. Not with Nora. We talk about how awesome she was at that challenge when she wouldn't give up. I was like, she is like the best comic relief on this
season. Okay, well, let's talk about that part of the challenge. Let me bring you a question from Maria has a question for you.
Hey, Robin, Brett. Maria Perez from Florida here. I'm getting over a cold, so you'll have to excuse how scratchy my voice sounds. Is it just me, or was Jeff a total spoil sport with Nora at the challenge? I mean, I feel like he should have let her keep going just a little while so her tribe could eat. It was a really nice gesture from her. Thanks, guys.
Yeah. So Nora, she wants to keep going at the end of that challenge. I think mostly because at the last challenge, she cost the tribe food because she jumped. She jumped off. Now she wants to keep going. And then Jeff ends up shutting down the whole thing and doesn't let her keep going. Here's that part.
Nora, the challenge is over.
You won, Nora.
I'm playing for all y'all.
Yes, Nora, good job.
I know. Unfortunately, it doesn't work that way.
Oh.
The challenge is over. Shove your last bites in.
First of all, Nora's nickname is Noodle?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about that.
That was like the noodles that you got for breakfast in Fiji.
Yeah, and you know, the funny thing is like, good on Nora, right?
Mm-hmm.
Good on Nora because she's trying to, she gets that she screwed up bad. So she kind of makes a joke out of this one, makes everyone laugh. It might make everyone forget about what she did before. But I think that there's a missed opportunity But I agree with Maria here. Like, maybe not for the same reasons that she's saying it, but I feel like there's a missed opportunity by Jeff here. This is a really funny scene. I think it could be a lot funnier if he lets it go. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, how long can she go for? I mean, I don't know how long the whole challenge was. I mean, it seemed like that Karishma was out after like 2 minutes, and then we didn't really get it like elapsed time. So the fact that we didn't get elapsed time makes me think that the whole challenge lasted about like 3 minutes and 35 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I just thought it was, I mean, there was like he could have kind of delved in on that a little more. That was hysterical. I thought that was really funny and it made me laugh. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I think it would have been really funny if she seemed like that. She was so out of it where like Jeff like could have sent everybody off and then like send them back to camp. And then she opens her eyes and everybody's gone. That would have been funny.
Yes, that would have been great. That would have been great. That's a great idea. Why aren't you on the production team, Rob?
Yeah, I used to always like that when on Family Feud, sometimes when I used to watch it, when Ray Combs was the host, sometimes like the person, like the first person would win, they would get 200 points and then they'd bring like the second person out and then he would just like mess with them because then they didn't have to score any points. So I like stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. No, I do too. But don't you agree that she is absolutely a great comic relief on this season right now? This is crazy.
No, Nora's been a lot of fun.
Every episode, she's got something that makes me just start dying laughing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I have some more questions for you about Nora, but I wanted to just stay with the breakfast because people had a lot of questions for you about this. This is really your, we timed this perfectly to have you on to talk about this big reward challenge. Sarah Seal wants to know from you, why didn't they have Dunkin' Donuts in the breakfast feast? Should that have been there? Should there have been donuts?
Yeah, Sarah, absolutely they should have Dunkin'. I'll tell you right now, if production's listening, if you ever have a challenge where there's a Dunkin' Donuts coffee on day 30, I'm out. I'm out. I'm right there. I can't tell you how long I was thinking about coffee out there for 37 days. I was like, we didn't have no coffee at anything, at any rewards or anything like that. It was like, oh, I just wanted a cup of coffee. It was crazy. So, yes, I think they definitely should have the D&Ds there. Dunkies would be more than happy to send over my duck roast if I ever get to play again. And they'll have it ready for me. Yes, absolutely. Because don't think about it. A nice cup of coffee on a morning in Fiji would be awesome.
You know what I mean? You don't have to convince me. I'm a big coffee guy. They already got donuts, though, I think, earlier this season. I think that they did already have the donuts. So, I don't know. That would have been like a mixing up. I feel like they feel like donuts is its own reward that's not part of breakfast.
Yeah, I mean, if they already had donuts, they should have already figured out they had too much breakfast already. You know what I mean? And first of all, I'm against donuts. I hate them.
Because donuts?
Oh, yeah, I can't. You're in full uniform and you're a police officer. You'd never eat a donut.
It's too messy.
Again. Well, that and it's just like everyone, you know, it's a stereotype. So yeah. When you're in the line, everyone's snickering, thinking they're going to buy a donut. So I'm like, no, I'm not. Yeah. I'm not. I'm just getting a coffee like everyone else, like everybody else in the world in Massachusetts goes to Dunkin's to get a donuts to get a
right.
coffee.
You can get in and out. And then, yeah, my dad didn't like that either. Although he did like donuts, but not necessarily that misconception.
Right. I mean, I like a like they have all these gourmet donut shops popping up. I know there's a lot in New York City when we did the live note all stuff like that. Those are really good. Like if you find me a nice gourmet donut place, like I'll try one like for a dessert or something. But yeah, I'm not grabbing donuts in the morning. You know what I mean, Rob? Mm-hmm. I'm trying to stay in shape here, but you know.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. So let me ask you this question from Jason McDaniel. We're 30 days into the Survivor season. And we have yet to see any Survivor pizza, Brett. Has Brett finally fulfilled his mission of killing the Nasty Island pizza?
Jason, if they don't know that, they know Fiji pizza is bad. They have to know. And after I've been tweeting about it for the last three seasons, it definitely has to have come across productions like, hey, listen, people don't like the pizza here. Hello? I mean, anyone that looks at, like, go back and watch Millennials vs. Gen X again and just look at the pizza we're eating. It was horrible. It just looks awful. It's just not pizza. Don't. And then that's fine, though, because they gave us a bunch of different stuff. It's the reward. And I think might have been last season, the season before, where it was just pizza. That's all you're getting.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's cruel and unusual. That's cruel and unusual punishment. Like you, like I literally be like, all right, I'm done. I'm out. I'll go back to the beach. I'm not playing for that. Like, I don't want that. You know what I'm saying?
But, Brett, if you have championed one cause in your time post-Survivor, it has been to stop the abomination of Fijian pizza. And it looks like, I mean, there's only three episodes left, including the finale. And it seems as though this might be the first season in Fiji without pizza. Can you take a victory lap for that?
Well, I'm not taking a victory lap yet, Rob. We still have a little ways to go.
It could be a family visit. I could see you'll get some love and a pizza party. You know, we're not out of the woods.
Yeah, let's poison the families of these survivors with this pizza.
They're not even starving.
Oh my! No. And if they were smart, they'd jump into the ocean and run away from it. But I listen. I will say this, as the way we're going right now, and it's not official yet because we have a little longer to go here, Rob, but I think that the Island of the Idols cast is going to owe me one hell of a thank you for not having to be around Fijian pizza while they were on their 39 days on the island. So, yeah, I got that coming to me because I'm going, you know, when I go out to the finale, they all need to come up and thank me for helping their cause. To not have to eat that crap.
I do see them ordering it a lot at the Ponderosa. There's a lot of on the Ponderosa videos. I don't know if you've watched those. That a big part of the Ponderosa videos has become that they give them like a menu for what they're going to eat at the Ponderosa. And I feel like then they call in the order. So it's there for them when they get back. And I do feel like that pizza is a, you know, number one item ordered.
Well, I will say I haven't watched a lot of the Ponderosas, mostly since mine was so good, it's hard to watch any of these.
Right.
James Seal, actually, I will say I need to start watching because it's something I always used to enjoy.
Not the British musician?
No, James Seal's the he's the guy who did. No, yes, you're right. No, not that one. This is a different Seal. And it's not Sarah Seal who called in earlier.
Seals that are getting eaten by the sharks.
What is going on? The Seals? Baby shark. Dun, 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 baby shark. James makes all these videos. He does a great job, and they're really fun to watch. I haven't been watching this season. I did watch some last season, but I need to get caught up on them because they are a lot of fun, and he does a great job. I wonder if he is related to Sarah Seal.
I think it's spelled the same way. Okay. Yeah. All right. One of the things you touched on in terms of the breakfast was that you said you were a fan of the mimosa. And we learned that you are not the only Survivor fan of the mimosa. And Karishma also is a fan.
Mimosa is like my favorite drink in the whole world. If I could go to a bar and order any drink, I would order a mimosa. That's how much I love mimosa.
Okay. So wow. Now, first off, I thought that Shark Ball was Karishma's favorite drink. That at Applebee's. Maybe that could
Can
be maybe Trish's next
show. Shut up, Applebee's. Is that the most horrible place? Like, I think I tweeted out. I hope it could Applebee's in Fiji be any worse than Applebee's in America? Like, I don't think that's even
possible. Love Applebee's.
I don't understand it. I'm going to have to talk to that woman. I don't understand it. That is completely insane to me. That they set up an Applebee's in Fiji and everyone's excited to go there. Oh, my God. So and I'm not even like a post-mop. That place is so bad. It's crazy, you know? Oh God! I did. This is how much I didn't even care about Applebee's. I actually linked them to the insult. You know what I mean? I went at Applebee's because I'm like, you
did they respond to you?
You deserve to know. It's crazy. Oh no, they didn't respond to me. They don't agree. I guess right.
No. So I like your take about the Fijian Applebee's. If you don't like the U.S. Applebee's, then think about how bad the Fijian Applebee's might be.
Crazy. That's crazy. But maybe they've improved. I don't know. I haven't been there in years, but it was awful when I used to go. And but yeah. So in mimosas, it's kind of funny. I do think that's kind of, I mean, any alcohol while you're when you're miserable out there, I think is good. So I'm glad that they did that.
Yeah, you know? But the idea that there was going to be mimosas there, I think was fake news. I don't think that mimosas was a part of, I mean, listen to what Jeff is describing.
Oh, you're right.
What nice. The breakfast yeah. was going to be. Like,
did she add that? Maybe Lauren added that.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, maybe that was part of Lauren's lie.
She get everyone to, yes.
This is what.
Wait a minute. I didn't hear a single reaction to pancakes, hash browns, bacon. I gotta check in. Wait a minute. Did we guess wrong? Yeah.
He doesn't mention anything about mimosa. Sandra didn't say anything about mimosa. It seemed like that this sort of like got to be telephone game that there was a mimosa.
This is why I love Rob as a podcast, because these are little snippets that you guys pick out and you root around. And I never even thought about that. It could be that Lauren was trying to enhance the reward and trying to get more and more people to take it by throwing into alcohol. Or it could be why there was no reaction from everyone when he.
Yeah, where's the champagne?
Where's the mimosa?
Yeah, I see orange juice, but I don't see any champagne.
Where's the booze? Yeah. Jeff, where's the booze? Maybe that's why they were upset.
Well, is that why Karishma played? Because then she's like, oh, I thought it was going to be a mimosa. Oh, okay, forget this.
God, can we talk about... So listen. I found myself kind of rooting for Karishma after the last episode, but I will say this. You know me with the crying, Rob. You know me with the crying, all right? Unless your parents are running out of the woods, don't be crying. And or your loved one or your boyfriend or your girl, right. Whatever you have, whatever you're dealing with.
It doesn't matter.
It's like, Karishma, don't cry. You want to, nobody, everyone sat down to eat. Three of you stood up to try and win. You didn't win. You made the right choice. Just know you're on the chopping block. You made the right choice. You tried. You gave it your all. You gave up breakfast for it. I give her, I was applauding her on that. I just thought it was like, just hold your head up high and be proud. You know what I mean? But anyway, I just don't like crying. Like, okay. She made a good choice, She made a good choice. Although, I will say this.
Yeah.
There's times when, on something like that, you have to say, what are the chances I'm going to beat Nara, right? Or Elizabeth. Maybe it's time to get some nourishment. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, I think Chris and I learned that lesson. And I get it. Like, a lot of people, you never want to sit out of a challenge. You don't.
Yeah.
But when it comes to food and it's day 30... And she also had an idol in her pocket. Like, I don't know, man. I think maybe she did make the wrong decision. She should have eaten, but.
Oh, interesting. I guess she played her idol anyway, but I mean, then if she did win the necklace, she could save the idol for another day. I think that's probably true. What she's hoping for.
Listen, I'm never gonna fault anyone for not eating, because Chris Hammers and I both did it. Like, we're, you know, us two big buffoons on that balance beam. We should have sat out and had the beer and grilled cheese.
Oh, so you guys ended up playing in the challenge instead of sitting out?
Yeah, and it was one of those things where you once we got to the little balance beam,
you should have looked at it and said, we have no shot.
We're not going to beat, you know, certain people at it. You know?
You're not one of these survivors that gets on Twitter and says, I would never, ever.
Well, that's the thing. Listen, if you go home that night, it's a tough sell. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like, do you ever want to put yourself in that position? You know what I mean? And I don't think I ever wanted to. At least I just wanted to try. You know what I mean? So
I would do. I wouldn't have any bones about sitting out of a challenge. If I felt like I am in a good spot, and I think I can end up, fueling up here for the home stretch, I would do it. I mean, I wouldn't do it under, you know, every single circumstance, but I wouldn't have any problem with people that did do it.
No, I don't. Now I don't think I would either. I think back then it's like, you know, you kind of like you're in an alliance. You're thinking you don't want people to look, you know, if everyone's that you're, you know, teamed with is playing, you want to be playing. Mm-hmm. That's how I looked at it then. But looking back at it now, yeah, I would definitely look and go, okay, what are my chances of beating Nora and them? No, not very good. Yeah. Let's eat. And then my mind's a little better. And you know what I mean? Because having your mentally and physically, food can help you huge out there. You know what I mean? As you know.
And Tyson, who is somebody who I think has a lot of authority in this matter, what he says about stuff like this is, you want people to think that, okay, oh, he's, willing to sit out of a challenge, and it sort of like gets you like a little bit like not this type of person that, oh, we can't stop this person that oh, they never sit out. Like, you want some like flaws on you in terms of people thinking like, oh, that person is, they sit out of challenges. Maybe I could beat that person in the end. So I think it's, a good thing to do once in a while for certain people.
I agree with you 100% on that.
Yeah. Okay.
And Tyson.
And Tyson. Because he's the king of, eat or compete, I'm going to sit out. So I want to ask you, though, that Karishma says that mimosa is the number one favorite drink. If she went to any bar, that's what she would order. Can you rate that as a drink order?
No, I'm not going to rate it. Listen, there was a guy at work, right? We're all sitting around the break room having dinner, and he was all excited. And he's like, oh, I can't wait tomorrow morning. We're going to have it's my birthday, and my wife's, we're going to wake up and have mimosas. And we made fun of him for a week because he was having mimosas. Like, I don't even think I would look at. I like all kinds of alcohol. Mimosa's not top, but between you and me, Rob, I would have a mimosa if I was like on vacation or something like that. But no, it's not my go-to drink. It's definitely low on the totem pole. But when you're out there on 30 days, I think it's a great drink.
What would you rather have, mimosa or a shark bowl?
I definitely probably oh god, that's a tough question. I have to go with the shack bowl, you know what I'm saying, over the mimosa. Again, I'm not beating up mimosas. It's a nice fresh drink. It's got a little alcohol in it, but it's just not my go-to. A Sunday brunch, maybe having a Sunday brunch or something. You might have a mimosa to start the morning after a nice you hung over from the night before, but it shouldn't be your go-to. Like, you shouldn't be excited and tell the guys at work that you and your wife are having mimosas in the morning because it's your birthday. Like, you should get made fun of immediately because of that.
Okay. Let's talk about Nora. You mentioned Nora. You said that she's a really good comic relief, but I want to play a voicemail for you from one of our listeners, Josh in Philly, who wants to bring back something that you said about Nora earlier in the season. Here's Josh in Philly.
Okay.
Hey, Rob and Brett. Josh from Philly. Brett, it was great meeting you and Larry at the Know-It-Alls. And my question is about Nora. There's been talk about Has Nora really emerged as a threat? I know, Brett, you had said that Nora should have been the first boot at Know-It-Alls. Do you feel that she has a shot to really make a run at this and possibly win the game, or are they just going to get so sick of her and vote her out in one of the next votes before even the finale? Thanks. Hope you're both doing well and had a great holiday. Bye.
Okay. Now, do you remember saying that? Did you say that they should have voted out Nora first?
Well, Rob, as you know, at these know-it-all things, I tend to drink heavily. And
not a mimosa.
No, please stop it.
Jason Mimosa.
Yeah. So I can't argue with Josh that I actually said it. I probably did say it, but I will say I think what I meant was that Nora seemed to me at the time to be your typical first boot, like someone that they cast to be a first. I mean, there's always this rumor that they cast people. I don't know for sure, but she seemed like someone that maybe would, you know, annoy people, run around, and it might be one of the first boots. That being said, thank God she's still here because she's completely hysterical. She makes me laugh every week. I find myself loving her more and more. And I found it very interesting. You and Fishy were saying that there's a chance. Like, I just don't, as of right now, I see her more as somebody you want to take to the end because I don't know if she could win. But I'm not, every week that like is going away. And the fact that she is winning so many immunities, I agree with you and Fishy that she might find herself getting cut because people are just scared she's gonna keep winning, you know what I mean, go on a run or something.
Yeah, she's gonna start losing.
But I'm not, and I also can't even say that she can't win this game. I feel like she can't, but I'm not sure that she can't, you know. I still feel Karishma can't win. Mm-hmm. Sadly enough, I just don't see a path where she wins it just by the way the confessionals are, the other people she's playing with, mm-hmm. you know, about her. I do think that her gameplay is improving, but we're talking about Nori. I'm sorry. But yeah, I still am at the point where I can't see a Nora win, but it's getting more and more interesting every week. You know what I mean?
I could definitely see where she wins a couple more immunities and then they have to vote her off because she's won too much.
Yeah.
Like she's screwing herself by winning too much. I think that she was somebody who was like locked in for the final three. And I still am not sure she can win if she got to the final three, but she's going to definitely lose if she keeps winning immunities. Does that make sense? Is that crazy?
Do you think maybe that she's getting closer and closer to ungoading herself? I feel like there's a possibility she's ungoading herself. I don't know. I don't know. You know, and that brings up another point. Rob, the definition of goat, has that changed over times in Survivors?
So how do you mean?
Well, like Dean keeps saying the goats, they're going to rise. I'm like, don't you want to go with goats? From what I remember being on Survivor, Anna, is the goats are who you want to bring with you so you can slaughter them at Final Tribal and take the win. Like, yes. Wouldn't you want goats? I kind of see what he's saying where he's nervous too many of them will rise up. But
yeah,
like to me, he should be buddying up with some of these goats instead of
right.
insulting.
And not to mention that I think that he's in goat denial also, Dean, that he is, if you can't beat him, join him, because I think you, Dean, is in the goat army. But I do think that this is a thing where the Survivor players have gotten smarter and, you know, they know the game so well and there's so many super fans that are out there. And so it used to be that a lot of these players would get voted out early who weren't necessarily like fitting in with the tribe. Okay, this is an easy vote. Vote this person out. Whereas this season, especially, we've seen people who seem like, oh, this person's really good at the game. Vote them out. And so what we're seeing is like more and more of these players end up getting further into the game. This was something, you know, where it came up last season a little bit also, where Wardog, after he voted out Kelly Wentworth, then had came to Ron Clark and Rick Devins and was like, hey, we're the big players. We got to, you know, keep an eye on each other because the goats are coming for us. And they didn't listen. And then it was, I think, then War Dog and then Ron Clark both went out back to back right after they started talking about that. And I'm not sure if I from last season, how much that was sort of like overheard and the other players really were upset about those types of conversations happening. But, you know, here it is again, where people are talking about, hey, the goats are going to get us. We need to stick together and get all of the goats out of the game. And I think this is like a thing right now on Survivor, where so many of these people that probably in past seasons would have been voted out earlier are making it deeper and deeper into the game. And there's a fear that they're going to just band together.
Yeah. And I guess that's a valid fear, but to me, it's like if you let these people get to the merge, you know, their stock right. goes up, because I don't feel like you put a Tommy next to a Nora. I mean, Tommy's winning all day long. So mm-hmm. Tommy, you know, and you throw, there is a huge push for Carisma win. And I see it, man. I feel the story. I feel it.
Okay? We love underdogs.
Yes, I feel it. And I like her. And I'm rooting for her.
You wouldn't
her.
Know really anything am. About that being a New England Patriots fan.
Right, exactly.
But once upon a time, the New England Patriots were underdogs in 2001. Yeah.
Thank you. Like, everyone's like, oh, I hate the Patriots. Well, I grew up with them losing all the time. Mm-hmm. All the time. And much like the Jets do now. And sorry, Rob. But
you don't have to be sorry if it's true.
I'm rooting for Karishma. You know what I mean? Like, I cringed with that scene when she's talking about her husband. I'm like, oh, my God, what kind of a talk is she gonna, like, how is she watching this with her family right now? That's gonna be so hot. So I think, like, her whole Survivor journey's been interesting to watch. And, you know, so there's a part of me that wants to see her win, but I just don't see the path, because yes, I think we all see her playing hard. I think we all say, wow, good for you. You played that idol and you played it right, and you know, our hats off to her. But when you listen to the, like, people have zero respect. You know, the jury seems to have zero respect for her. Mm-hmm. And if, like, folks, we're not talking about 6 months later when everyone's back and they're all dressed up and they're in L.A. and they're doing their finale show. No, they're voting when they're out there and they're mad and they're angry or they're still sick of people. And, you know, so I just don't see it. I can't see it. And maybe they're going to prove me wrong, but that's where I am with that.
So I do think that Karishma has a better shot at this than Nora, because I think that Karishma knows how everybody has viewed her the entire game, where I think that Nora is maybe has a little bit of a different viewpoint than everybody else who's out there, where I think that Nora might feel like that she has been running the game and then get to day 39. And if she tries to tell people that story, that they're not going to agree with her. But if Karishma is able to sort of like pound the table and say, nobody gave me a shot at this thing, and I scratched and I clawed, and then I played on how you guys perceived me, and I knew that I was I knew that I had to, you know, flip my whole game around. And so I started, I went on a run and I voted out Missy, who, you know, she only thought of me as a goat. And then I played my idol. And I think that she can sort of build a narrative. She is a lawyer, and I do think that she has that ability, but she still has to do a lot more, where I think that if she was in the final three right now, I don't think she has the resume to get anybody to, win them over. But if she ends up slaying a few more dragons on the way to the finale, then I do think that she has that upside.
Yeah, but I'm from the camp where I believe, like, there's such strong rolling of eyes and stuff. I think it's going to be very hard for people to, and you never know. I mean, maybe she can make a case for herself, but she's going to have to make a really good case, because I think a lot of people just are frustrated.
What
with
if she really wins the final four fire making?
That might be what it takes.
Juries love that.
That might be what it takes. You know what I mean?
Like that. They like that.
I understand, but I just know human nature, Rob. And I'm telling you, when people are that, you know, I can't. It's going to be, she has a mountain, and I hope she, you know, that she's going to go up, and I hope she gets it. I hope she does, you know. So,
okay. All right.
We'll see.
Brett, before we go any further, let me take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. And Those are our friends over at DC Universe. If you love DC movies, shows, and comic books, we've got good news for you. DC Universe, the ultimate DC membership, is offering a special 14-day free trial to our listeners. Visit DCUniverse.com/podcast-O-N-E and use promo code ROBPODCAST to start your free trial. DC Universe has so much to offer, including their action-packed original series like Doom Patrol, Young Justice, Outsiders, Swamp Thing, Titan Season 2, and it doesn't stop there with the highly anticipated adult animated series Harley Quinn premiering on November 29th. Tune in to see Harley, voiced by Kaley Cuoco, break things off with the Joker in an attempt to start on her own. Will she be the newly liberated Queen Pin of Gotham City? Find out in new episodes on Fridays. And if you want to experience more DC, watch new animated films, enjoy classic animated series remastered in HD, binge some fan-favorite DC shows, watch classic films, and so much more. If reading is more your thing, DC Universe has over 20,000 digital comics that you can access at your fingertips, and DC Universe is available on your favorite devices so you can watch on the go. Don't waste any more time. Start your free 14-day trial today. Visit www.dcuniverse.com/podcast1. Use promo code ROBPODCAST. That's www.dcuniverse.com/podcast-O-N-E. Use promo code ROBPODCAST to start your 14-day free trial. That code is valid through December 31st. 2019, Rob Has a Podcast is sponsored by Warner Brothers Digital Networks, the operator of DC Universe. DC Universe is only available in the U.S. Okay, Brett, I want to talk to you about another one of the players.
I can't wait to watch, but Rob, you just brought up DC Universe. I have to comment on it. Yes. I mean, I cannot wait to watch that Batman, the animated series. They're going to have Christmas with the Joker. I am so excited for that. That's going to be so
cool. Oh, check that out.
If nothing gets you in the holiday spirit better than Christmas with the Joker.
Joker, yes, because as my kids will often tell me, Jingle Bells, Batman smells, Robin laid an egg.
Batmobile lost his wheel.
Yeah, my younger son, that's his favorite song, and he likes to say Jingle Bells, Daddy Smells, he taunts me with these Christmas songs.
Well, I gotta say, I'm
happy
to see that those songs are still in circulation after all these years, because we used to sing them too.
I don't think he knows the real one, but that one, when he heard that you can make it into something that's not appropriate, then that really caught his attention. Okay. My attention is on one of the players that we haven't talked about. I want to talk to you about Dean. And Dean, a.k.a. Detective Dean, Brett, you two work in law enforcement. I wanted to know what your take was on the detective abilities of Mr. Dean Kowalski.
Yeah, I don't know how Dean passed the detective test, but I will say I do like Dean just because, first of all, the reason I like Dean so much is because when he stands up and says about the redheads, with that dumb looking redhead over there, I was like, oh, I know exactly how he feels. I was out there with Chris Ammons. So I can resonate with Dean. Especially when it comes to redheads and being dumb, Tommy, sorry, buddy, but you're just Chris Hammonds in my eyes. That's all you got. So yes, I do identify with Dean. But what do you want? I know you, Rob, and you're not going to be happy with just that answer. You're going to delve deeper into Dean here. So what do you got?
Well, first, can I just ask you a police question? That to be a detective, detective's not a rank. Do you have to go for special training to be a detective as opposed to just a regular officer?
If you ask a detective, they're going to say yes. Okay, but I'm going to tell you no. So what you do is it's a test. You test for it, at least in Boston. I can only speak for the Boston police. And then, you know, it's an eligibility list. They get made and they might have a couple of training, but pretty much everything you do as a detective is learned in the patrol force. You know what I mean? It's kind of, you just, you know, you have more time to investigate stuff and stuff like that, you know?
Okay.
So they're actually in our job on the Boston Police, detectives are the same rank as patrolmen. They just are in plain clothes. They might get a little more money, but a detective can't tell a patrolman what to do.
Mm-hmm.
So they're technically the same rank, but they just deal in different things. They respond to calls after the fact and stuff like that. So,
okay. Kevin Martin, Big Brother Canada winner, had a question that he wanted to ask us.
Canada, that's my boy. Yes. Kevin Martin. Oh, I love that kid. Good guy. He's secretly in love with me, too. Him and Chris Hammonds have been fighting over me for years, by the way. I'll just say that.
Kevin Martin wants to know, can you ask Brett if he ever had access to the Survivor Arts and Crafts store? Where did Dean get bottled ink from? Now, I know a lot of people had this question. They wanted to know, where did Dean get these arts and crafts supplies?
Well, I want to thank Kevin for calling in with that question. And he's a tweeting fool, that kid. He's I can't keep up with all of his tweets.
Big fan of the podcast.
Oh, yeah. Big fan of the podcast. And I do want to thank him for correcting. I will say, Kevin, I am on top of you, buddy. Thank you for correcting and making it one T in Brett.
Okay.
He actually sent that tweet out twice. So
but I wasn't sure where you're going with that.
But here's the thing. So those arts and crafts are usually given to people after the merge to make our merge thing. You know what I mean? What do you call it? The flag, the banner. Yeah. So, and then they're kind of laying around, and they want them laying around camp because, you know, then people can use them to make idols and be, you know, like little sneaky David Wright, you know, David Wright.
Yeah.
You know, and he runs around and does all kinds of crazy shit, you know?
Yeah.
So what's his question again? What's the second part of that question?
The question was, where did he get the supplies from? Yeah, so it's part of the arts and crafts of they give you that stuff for the merge flag. And I think, was David Wright really the first person to then take that stuff and then turn it into, you know, idols and advantages that can be played later on and fake stuff?
Yeah, I believe he was. And David's a brilliant man, and it was so fun playing with him, and that's the kind of stuff he would do. And I think that, you know, I think Survivor...
To be fair, I know that Yao Man did, like, paint, like, eye on a coconut shell one time. So I guess there's some precedent. But David Wright, in the modern era, I think was the person that really got that going.
Right. And Yao Man has done a lot. And David Wright... but I think what they saw what David do, I think shocked Survivor. I think they said, hey, let's just leave the paints from here on out. You know what I mean? They seem to be doing that all the time now.
Did David Wright stash the paint for in Millennials versus Gen X? Or was that just sort of like, did everybody have access to that stuff?
Yeah, no, he stashed it. And then, let's see. Well, how did it get found? It got found. We were all running around looking for idols. I think Jay felt he was on the chopping block, so he went looking for an idol. He dug up the paints, and then he figured out that. But the best part about that story is the fact that he dug up the paints, sees the paints, but then falls for the fake idol that was made with the paints that he found. Oh God, it's so funny.
Okay.
That was such a great scene. Love Jay. Jay's a great guy.
Let's bring in a question
here, Kevin.
Yes.
I like that Kevin's chiming in.
He listens. Okay.
Star Trek Canada.
Winner of Star Trek Canada. Okay.
That's right.
Here's Zachary has a question for you about Dean and about Jamal's read on Dean.
Hey, Robin Brett. It's Zach from Georgia. And I want to talk about reads. Not the guy from season 29, like R-E-A-D-S, reads. See, I think a lot of Survivor is reading, like just sort of looking at someone and knowing without knowing how, but just knowing things about them. The most impressive thing that happened on the show this week didn't actually even happen on the show. It happened a couple of weeks ago when Jamal looked at the field, saw Dean, and read him like a cheap paperback. He knew that Dean was the one guy in the game with enough moths fluttering around in his skull for him to actually believe that fake advantage was real. The concept of reading is fascinating to me because it's always been something that I suck at. But I imagine, Brett, as a police officer, you're pretty good at it. So I want to know, how do you read people? Is it something that you can learn, or is it just something that you're born with? Who out there do you think is the best reader, and who do you think is illiterate? Thanks.
Okay. All right.
Well, that's a That's a very, there's a lot there in that question.
There's a lot there. First of all, do you agree with the premise in terms of that is, a real thing, being able to, read people correctly, and that it is, a key part of, effective police work?
Well, listen, reading people comes with time and experience. And I think just, like, for me, it's being lied to so much while I work that I just kind of get a feel for when someone's not telling me the truth. And there's a little thing, it's just experience. And I think a lot of people have it. You just don't hone in on it. You believe everything that's told you. And as you should, right? We shouldn't all assume everyone's lying to us. But I think when you have a little experience dealing with the public or dealing with people, and teachers could be good at this. Tommy could be good at this. I mean, he deals with students and stuff like that. But mm-hmm. I think if you're dealing with people where you just kind of get to feel for people's tics or certain little things that people do. There was a scene this season that was really good. Two people at the watering hole, and the look on somebody said something like, "Well, unless you guys are voting for me," maybe it was Nora was involved. I can't remember. But I was like, oh, my God, that's a perfect example of the camera pans to the two people she's talking to. And I'm like, they're absolutely voting for her. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? So it's like, that's the kind of stuff you have to be. If you're not good at reading people, Survivor's going to be tough for you. Yeah. You have to kind of.
I think it was Lauren, and she was talking with, I think, Missy and Elizabeth whether or not that Elaine might have an idol or anything. And I think that's what it was.
Yeah, I think Elaine said, "Well, unless you're gonna," I can't remember what it was, but it was a great scene where the looks on their faces, that should have told you, you know what I mean? They're not going with you, or something like that. Like, there's all kinds of. It's not that hard. It's not rocket science, but it's definitely something that takes a little time and experience to learn.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's like when you're reading lips. You know what I'm saying?
Like Lauren.
Like Lauren reads lips. Was that the most ridiculous thing that you ever? And can I ask Rob, like what certifications does she have for reading lips? Like what colleges did she go to learn to read lips? I mean, my favorite part about this is she could have told that to Dan. She could have told him anything that they were saying.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, how does he know she actually can read lips? I mm-hmm. love it.
Yeah.
Do you think she was pulling his leg? Do you think she
I don't know. I think that Lauren was on such a high where that she got everybody to eat the breakfast. It's sort of like when, Neo feels like he can, see the Matrix, that she was like, oh, wait, no, Dan, hold on. I'm reading lips right now. I've got that. I've got everything on lockdown. So I think, and you can get that way on Survivor. You can feel like, no, I've got everything figured out.
I love that scene because it reminds me of like Airplane when Barbara Billingsley stands up and she's like, "Excuse me, stewardess, I speak jive." She's like, mm-hmm. "Oh, I read lips. I read lips." Like, what proof do you have that you read? Like, well, this is the most ridiculous thing in the world. I thought that was a great scene. I could laugh, and he believes her. Like I'd be like, "All right, well, where did you learn to read lips? What college did that class?"
I think they were pretty close. Also, it's also conceivable that they could hear what they were saying.
True, I agree. Yeah, that's probably more what happened. Rob, just a question for you: Do you think Dan's feet are getting more of an edit than he is?
I don't know. That was with everything that we've seen with Dan. I mentioned this on the podcast, but I did not need to have his feet prominently featured in the shot.
Oh God, that was so true. Oh God. Anyway, that was a good scene. I really enjoyed that. Lauren made me laugh with that. I can read lips. I'm sure she can. Watch at the party. She'll be telling me all the crazy shit.
I heard what you were saying, Brett. I could see you from across the room. Although, in fairness, that I've been to parties with you that you don't need to read lips to know what you're saying from across the room.
Let me tell you something. If I ever go back on Survivor, they're going to have like film of me. I'm going to look like Bill Belichick on the sidelines with something covering my mouth so nobody can read my lips talking to whoever.
People can hear you wherever you go. You don't have to worry anybody's going to read your lips.
Are you saying I'm too loud, Rob? Are you saying I'm too loud?
You're not too loud for me. I'm just saying that you've never been so not loud that people can't hear you.
They're going to be like, is that Bill Belichick playing Survivor? No, it's Brett LaBelle. He's hiding his, he doesn't want Lauren to read his lips.
He's putting the Ponderosa menu in front of his mouth so nobody can see what he's saying.
Yeah, the pizza menu.
That's how you'll know that if you're holding up the pizza menu, people will know. Yeah, oh, he's telling a secret. He would never look at the pizza menu.
Yeah, Brett, drop the Fijian breakfast menu and talk into the camera.
Okay. All right. Let me ask you, though, about this fake legacy advantage that Dean ended up making. Okay. So here's a question for you from Dave. Said Brett's season was actually the first time that the legacy advantage appeared. How did you feel about that at that time? And how do you feel now that there's a fake legacy advantage 6 seasons later?
Yeah. So
what are the legacy for the legacy advantage?
I just the legacy advantage for me was Ken in cowboy boots putting his foot up and pulling it out of his thing, and I'm just shaking my head, going, "What now?" What now? Like,
Did you get voted out because of the legacy advantage?
I did not. No, okay. No. But it just annoyed me. Everything annoys me. That definitely did. But listen, as a
apparently,
but the it's one of those things. As a viewer, it's like, okay, it's fun. Like it's like another, you know, immunity idol. But I've been very vocal about that. I think there's too much. We don't want too much ruining this game. And that's just one more thing that goes into it. This annoyed me particularly because it looks so bad. It's so foolish. And I don't think we need it. It wasn't sold very well. I feel bad for Jamal. It's not his fault. But, you know, I want to say to Survivor and CBS right now, I want to say just because Dean, nobody knows whether it's right or wrong, but just because Dean's not only playing it once, but looks like he might play it again.
Yeah.
Scary as hell, but it doesn't mean it worked. Like I think it's the most ridiculous thing in the world. So this did not work. It's stupid. It was a good idea that you tried it, but please let's not do this again. And here's the other thing, like that whole scene where poor Jamal grabs the, and I know we talked about this on set, but like if that was an anvil tied to that note hanging in the thing,
wouldn't it have been as bad?
Like if this was on Millennials vs. Gen X, and that was tied to an anvil was tied to it. Adam Klein wouldn't be here right now. He'd be hit with an anvil. You know what I'm saying? Like what survivor isn't going to grab that? Like, you have to grab that. And then you got, you know, Boss Rob's like, hey, listen, you shouldn't do it. Like, come on. He would have been all over that too. Like, he would have snatched that up faster than a, you know. So, but this didn't work. In the fact, like, Rob, he's going to play this again at 6, right? He's going to play this again.
Definitely. Definitely.
It's like, come on, stop it. I don't want to see this anymore. Annoying me.
You don't want to see Dean play the same advantage twice and get told 2 different times that it was not a real advantage.
I know. And do you think Jamal, because Jamal doesn't even wince, do you think he realizes that's not the note he wrote when Jeff holds it up? So you think he's on to it? Oh, wait a minute. There's something going on. I don't know. The whole thing is bizarre. But
yeah, Jamal, I'm surprised, didn't have like a huge reaction in terms of what I like. So I think that Jamal is just reserved enough that he wasn't going crazy, because I think that most people on the jury would be like, in your face, Dean, yeah, you fell for it. When Dean then comes out at the final 6 and is like, hey, guys, you thought that I played my real legacy advantage at 9. I fooled you. I made a fake one. Jeff, here's the real legacy event. I mean, Jamal might wet his pants that time.
Yeah, but I don't want to, for CBS, I don't want them to have this. I don't want to see that, because it might be
an all-time moment.
The whole island's annoying to me, let alone a handwritten note that someone, you know what I mean? And
why is it annoying to you?
I'm not beating up Dean either, because there's a lot of people who think this could possibly be real on that island from what we're seeing from the scenes. But my point is like, this is completely ridiculous. Like, the look on their faces when Jamal comes back from the island and tries to sell it to them, they're like, they're not buying it. They should listen to their gut, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Great. So
but it's not only Dean believing in this thing.
Yeah. Dean talked about his idea of what he was going to do. Here's Dean talking about his motive for wanting to make the fake Legacy Advantage.
You know, shake things up a bit and get a little shifty with it.
Yeah, he's going to get a little shifty with it.
Yeah, there you go. Get shifty with it.
And that really kills me that we don't have a wand off right now. I feel like we would have gotten a lot of Dean getting shifty with it.
Yeah, DJ LaBelle Klein would never let that get by him.
That's not really his genre, but yeah, I hear what you're saying.
I love the wand off.
Yeah. Then this was Dean. Then Jeff asked Dean about the spot that he was in. There was some talk about there were some analogies about whether or not it was going to be like a car race of the time that do you need to get your tires adjusted. And Dean was asked about his particular situation.
Dean, the pit stop, did that factor in for you?
I was in a peculiar situation, as you'll see later tonight.
What is it? What kind of situation is Dean in?
I have no idea what he's talking about.
For you?
I was in a peculiar situation, as you'll see later tonight.
He was in a peculiar situation.
Is he saying peculiar? Is that what he's
saying? Peculiar.
I was in a peculiar situation, as you'll see later tonight.
He's saying a peculiar situation.
Peculiar situation.
Yeah. Like Baylor Wilson.
Is he like a race car driver? Like, why are we bringing up race car analogies?
Tommy brought it up. And I was going to ask you, as an expert in pit stops, is this what it was like?
I don't know, man. No. This was nothing like our pit stops. Nothing.
Yeah.
Although I did have a big redhead staring at me at a pit stop. So I guess it's somewhat similar, you know?
Karishma is an expert in pit stops.
I still have it here in my trusty little armpit.
Oh, God. Trusty little armpit. What was the last time she put it down a pit? Like, she's had very strange places to hide idols. And secondly, is really an armpit? Couldn't it fall out at any minute in your armpit? What is she wearing that it's not falling out?
So this was from last week's episode that she had a different place that she was holding the idol.
Thankfully, I have an immunity idol in my trusty bra over here.
Okay. Trusty bra. All right. Sure. I mean, I guess, you know, look, you have one out there that it's, you know, you're trusting a lot with the bra. I get that. But the armpit,
I still have it here in my trusty little armpit.
So one thing we've learned about Christmas, she has a trusty bra and a trusty armpit. She's surrounded by trust, Rob. She's surrounded by trust.
Trust clusters.
Oh, God.
But your trusty little armpit, like it's like my armpit's never failed me yet. My trusty armpit.
I'll tell you right now, on day 30, that immunity idol is screaming right now under that armpit. I'll tell you that. I don't care who you are. That's not an insult to anybody. They're like, it's bad. You smell bad up here.
Okay. And then ultimately, this is where the idol ends up.
I have the immunity idol sitting in my pocket and nobody knows about it.
So it went
now
from
in your pocket. That thing is moving around, man. It's moving. That thing's on fire.
She's about to lose it.
There's nobody going to locate it because she's moving it all around her body. It's everywhere.
Yeah.
It's in her pocket. It's in her armpit. It's in her bra. Karishma's not screwing around with this thing.
But how about this then? Nora ended up searching her bag for the idol. You don't like that. But listen to this.
And we go through it just to see if there's anything in there. There's a crumpled up note. There's two things that have shells on them.
I mean, there's a crumpled up note and two things. Did she not just find the idol and the note?
That's a dangerous move on Nora's part. Yes. Well, that's interesting. I did catch that. I was like, wait a minute, crumpled up note. Wouldn't you want to know about, like, if you're the other person listening to that, wouldn't you be like, crumpled up note, what's it say? Did you read the note?
Have you ever been like to a crime scene or like we just found some paper, like nothing to see here.
Yeah. What note are they giving you out there? They're not. Like, if there's paper in somebody's bag, if you're gonna actually take the time to look at someone's bag, you gotta look and see what it says. Well, she's not going to make detective, let alone Dean.
Okay, but you don't like when they go through the bags.
I don't. And that's
because you believe they need a warrant.
Yes, I do. That's your personal property. Although you are in Fiji, so I don't know the laws of Fiji. But I will say that it always bothers me when survivors go through bags. And I'm sure that someone went through my bag. But if I ever caught them, it would be it would have been a huge, huge thing. You only have so much privacy out there. Mm-hmm. That's like I feel like there's a lot of people that are like hands off. I definitely get it. Like you can gain information out of it. I just think if you get caught, it's gonna it turns people off.
Mm-hmm.
Let's put it that way. It's a reason to vote you out.
So you would keep the idol in your trusty armpit.
I would not. Yeah, I would not. I would not put it in my bag. I'll tell you that after seeing how many survivors go through bags and you know what I mean. But I'd hide it somewhere. I don't know if I'd keep it in my armpit, but I feel like it could fall out at any moment. I guess I don't have retaining armpits. You know. Retained idols very well, you know, unless she's got it wrapped around maybe because it's a rope. I don't know. I don't know what's going on there, Rob. It scares me. I really don't even want to go into it anymore. I don't like armpits. I'm not into that fetish.
That's not your thing.
No.
Okay.
It's not my thing. Neither are feet.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Some people are into feet. I'm not into feet, Rob, or armpits.
All right. Make note if anybody runs into Brett LaBelle at Spooky Bear next year.
Yeah. And if you're into it, I'm not insulting you. I'm more than happy for you. I support you in your armpit fetish and your feet fetish.
And I
personally.
You have a consenting partner. Yeah. Whatever you want to do.
Right. Absolutely.
Okay.
I support you 110%.
Okay.
You know.
All right. Let me go into another question for you here. This is from one of our listeners who wants to know about the fake legacy advantage.
Okay.
Hey, Rob. Matt from Newfoundland. I feel like Dean's decoy advantage was a real game changer move. Creating a decoy advantage to throw people off that know about a real one that you have is something that I could see people trying again in a future season. But what I'm wondering is, if someone played a fake advantage or idol at a tribal council, but got called out on it, would Jeff allow someone to inspect it after it was played? Thanks.
Okay. Matt says that Dean is a game changer. Was there wisdom with this?
I don't know, man. I mean, he's making another fake of a fake. I don't love this. I think I love when people make fake idols. It's so creative and they have to, you know what I mean? They have to try and, you know, a lot of them look like they're real.
Mm-hmm.
This just doesn't work for me. And, sorry, Matt from, Newfoundland. I wonder if he lives up by Oak Island, but, I'm not a big fan of this. I hope it doesn't come back. I think what's very interesting is that you and Fishy talked about is, mm-hmm. people like master the survivor kind of a font. I think that would be kind of cool. That might change my. But when I see like someone's handwriting, like I don't know. What's your thoughts? I just thought it was stupid. You know,
It is smart, but it's not like it, like Detective Dean sort of like stumbled into this. Like he had a good idea, but he's also like being duped by something that should be like pretty obvious that it's not real. Right. And so it's hard to say
that's why they're doubling down on it. And I'm not buying it, I guess. I don't know.
Right. So he's like acting on bad intel, but he's acting like in a smart way, but on bad intel. So, you know, it's hard to give Dean a lot of credit here, but I think there is some wisdom where if you have something to like make a counterfeit version of that, that's like you know, the like a real scam of that, then you can sell people the counterfeit version of the thing and you hold on to the real one, except that that's already been done to him.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because you're absolutely right. If this was actually all real and that was a real note, he'd be a brilliant.
Yeah. If you had the Mona Lisa that you, you know, had at your house and you could, you know, reproduce a counterfeit Mona Lisa and sell that one and keep the real one. Yeah. You're doing okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. What was it? There was a second part of his question that was interesting. What did he say at the end there?
Second part of the question was then about, let me play it again.
Okay.
Someone played a fake advantage or idol at a
Could Jeff verify it? Would they let them look at it?
Yeah, no, Jeff's never going to let, they don't let them, I can't imagine they'd let them look at it. Absolutely not. Jeff's taken it, it's gone. I mean, what's your take on that? It's my understanding that that would be played and gone. Yeah. He's not going to let people look at it.
They want him to play it again. they don't want them to be like, hey, hold on, this isn't the real Legacy Advantage.
Like, they want to see how this goes, and they definitely want us to come back on day, you know, what, six left. You know what I mean? they definitely want him to try and play this again because they're trying to sell this whole idea, which is just horrible, you know?
Yeah. So. Okay. All right. Let me ask you some questions about millennials versus Gen X. Andy wants to ask you about, Andy says, you were closely aligned with Sunday, a player whom others voted out for being a perceived GOAT at the end. Is that a strategy that you agree with? What's your take on all the GOAT talk? And is that label thrown around prematurely? Is that right? Did people view Sunday as a GOAT?
I think because Sunday got kind of a tough edit, people don't realize how much she worked, but she was an absolute workhorse.
But what about for people when you guys were out there? Did people think like, oh, Sunday is easy to beat?
No, nobody thought she was a GOAT at all.
Because
nobody
thought, right?
And Sunday's got a great story. Like,
yeah.
I was, you know, and I'd never admit this to her, but you had to think, do I want to sit next? I did not think bringing Sunday to the end of the game.
She's a cancer survivor. Yeah.
Was not going to be beneficial to me. Do you know what I mean? Again, we're all friends now. I don't want to say anything, but there was definitely two people at that time in the game I was playing that I felt like if I went to the end of them, I was winning $1 million. Sunday was not one of them. I did not want Sunday's story being told next to mine. You know what I mean? That's how I felt. Now, other people might feel a little different, but
yeah.
Sunday was a workhorse out there, and I don't think there's anyone that'll say that she wasn't, you know?
Okay.
She had relationships with everyone. She was running around all the time scheming, so.
Mm-hmm. We have a question from Kimberly Berquist, who I don't think is related. Need a good winter lager to try. Do you have a suggestion? How about a mimosa for Kimberly?
Yeah, Harpoon's got a great winter warmer, and so does Sam Adams. I mean, I'm talking Boston beers.
I hear they could use some harpoons in Cape Cod.
Cape Cod definitely has harpoons for the Sharks, but they also Cape Cod has their own beer, Cape Cod beer. They have a good winter beer too. I can't remember what it's called, but that's really good. Cape Cod beer is really good. Okay. It's a brewery.
So. All right. Tara Renee wants to know that I'm surprised that Elaine is closer with Tommy and Dan than she was with Missy and Elizabeth. How did she become so close with original Vokai? And do you think she's at the bottom of the new alliance? We haven't talked a lot about Elaine. First off, what do you feel about Elaine?
Well, I like Elaine. I think she's kind of a character. I think that a lot of people like her. And I think that she is comic relief out there. And the one thing I learned is comic relief can help you a lot.
Yeah.
The day when and I love that you guys got into how bad it is when it rains out there, because I don't think the viewers really realize how bad it is when it rains. And if you can lift people's spirits during a rainstorm in the beginning of the season, that can win you a lot of credit going forward. And so I think that Elaine is she is funny. We see her be funny a lot. And I think that people really enjoy her. And I think that's why she's gotten as far as she has. I'm not saying she's not playing. I'm sure that she is. I mean, she's in an alliance. She's sticking hard with them. And but I definitely think that I definitely think she's funny and people really enjoy her, you know?
Okay. I agree on the Elaine stuff. What's that?
Did I answer that? You know, my mind goes crazy.
We'll explore it a little bit more. There's a good secret scene about Elaine this week where she's like dressing up in everybody's clothes. And Elizabeth is talking about like Elaine is such a, you know, fun personality to have around the camp. So you could check that out if you wanted to see more about Elaine. But in terms of Elaine in the game, Brett, I am interested to know if you think she's in a good spot or not, that she ended up, you know, I thought that she was in a really good spot at the beginning of the merge where that she was part of that post swap Vokai group where she had, it was four people from her original tribe where it was her and Missy and Aaron and Elizabeth. And they were working with Dan and Tommy and Lauren. And there was four people from her original tribe and three people from the other tribe. But then once they ended up having that crazy, okay, let's break the tribe in half thing happen, then she was part of the group that knocked out Missy, and then also Aaron got knocked out. And now all of a sudden, the people from her original tribe are, there's, you know, less in her alliance. She seems like that she's willing to knock out Elizabeth, willing to go after Karishma. So she's kind of all in with, you know, seemingly Dan and Tommy and Lauren. What is she doing here? And what's her end game?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think we're seeing enough from her to know what her end game is. I am worried. She states at Tribal that she's very loyal and she's going to stick with it. And you have to show that. And there's some truth to that. But
yeah, let me play what she says at the Tribal Council. This is how she describes how she feels.
And I'm going to roll with them, or I'm going to roll home. Sorry.
So
yeah, see, and I don't like that comment. And I'd like Elaine a lot. I just want to say that. But I don't like that comment because, like, to me, it's like you're going to roll fucking home. Like, you've known these people for, you know, 30 days. Okay. You're here to win $1 million. Like, are you going to, like, there's, you know, when I was on, when my bitch Chris Hammonds got voted out, I ran right to the person that voted him out, yeah. Zeke, and I'm just like, hey, listen, you know, and I was bummed out. Like, Chris and I were good friends, as you know, we did the race together, but you have to jive and move. You have to do whatever you can to try and get further in the game to win $1 million. And to say, hey, if I can't roll with these people, I'm out. I just don't. I mean, granted, she's at Tribal, she's trying to gain everyone's, you know, make everyone not nervous that she's going to flip or anything like that. So I get it. I mean, there's a show here, but to me, it's like you have to be ready to, like, we're getting down to the numbers here. We're getting to the nitty gritty, and they're all going to start turning on each other. And I hope that she is prepared to make another quick move. Otherwise, she's just going to get slaughtered because nobody wants her at the end. I'm sure she's got a great story. She's funny. She made everyone laugh. Everyone likes her as a person. I think that nobody wants to see her get to the end. So I fear for her in the next couple of weeks, Rob.
Yeah, I don't know if she's in such a hot position right now. I really thought coming into this week, I saw her save Karishma, or at least bring Karishma in to knock out Missy last week. I said, okay, oh, watch this. She'll pick up Elizabeth. She'll pick up Karishma. Okay, here she is. She's in a good spot. And she seemed willing to completely, you know, cut bait on both of those people coming into this vote right now to talk about that she's going to roll with the people that she's with. But yeah, I mean, Tommy and Lauren don't consider Elaine. The only person that I can think of that I think she's probably really tight with Dan.
Yeah, I think she is tight with Dan, but I think she had a missed opportunity. Now, like, listen, and this is what happens is you try to stay in your lane, but you have to know when to merge out of your lane. And now is the time. She needs to get out of that lane, and she needs to find her path to the end. I don't think staying with that crew. And again, in you and Fishy talk about this, like, we don't know who's in that alliance. We have some speculation who it is. I can kind of guess. You've made a guess. But I don't see her in the management aspect of that alliance, right? Maybe she's number five, number six. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I don't know. I'm very concerned about her in the next couple weeks.
Yeah.
You know, but this is Survivor, and 3 days brings who knows what.
Yeah, okay, so we'll see where Elaine ends up going next. Okay, some more questions for you. Here's one from the great Shannon Gates. She wants to know that the task for this week was to lure people into not playing for pancakes and bacon. Can you role play how a Brett would have done if he had to lure people into not playing for Fiji pizza? What if you had gone to the Island of the Idols and you had to get people to sit out of the challenge, but the reward was going to be Fijian pizza? Could you bring yourself to do that to people?
You know, that is so hard. $1 million is on stake. I would probably have to bite my, you know, swallow my pride and tell everyone how wonderful I remember Fijian pizza being, and that it's the best pizza I've ever eaten. And God hope they don't read my tweets because they know I was lying. And then I'd be screwed.
Let's play this now. You've gone to the Island of the Idols. Me and you are out there, and now it's All Star season. You've been to the Island of the Idols, and you have to get us all to sit out so we can eat pizza.
Okay.
And you get, and then you get a legacy advantage if you end up getting enough people to sit out.
Is it just pizza? Or is there anything else?
No, it's just pizza.
Oh, God.
Maybe, okay, hey, maybe there's some Fijian crazy bread also.
Okay, Rob,
yes.
Everyone, listen up. So I just went to Island of the Idols.
Okay.
And there's nobody important there. Nobody. But what I have is I have a look to what's going on tomorrow.
Okay.
And you can either play or you can sit. It's a food challenge. It's a food. You can sit out and you can eat Fijian pizza, all different kinds, sausage, peppers, onions.
They hold on. Brett, you always tell us Fijian pizza is gross. We should all play.
They're flying in Papageno's. They're flying in Papageno's from Boston.
Oh, it's a new vendor?
Yes. It's a brand new. So this is American pizza coming in. So I'm telling you right now, you should sit out and have it.
American pizza coming in. But how do we know? How do we know which, if we're getting the real pizza or if it's a Fijian pizza?
I can't sell it, Rob. I can't sell it.
You'd break.
I can't sell it. Because you're right. The minute they lift it up, they'll say, that's not Papageno's.
We're playing.
That's crappy cardboard shit.
Give me the Red Rock.
Oh, God. This is so horrible. This is so horrible.
All right. You mentioned the Island of the Idols, and I want to ask you about your opinion on the Island of the Idols from what you've seen so far. I take it you're not a fan.
Oh, no, I'm not. And what I'm not a fan about is that the island itself. And listen, if you're going to have an Island of the Idols, you have to have Rob and Sandra. Rob's amazing. Sandra is the queen. Nobody's ever won twice yet. So you have to give it to them. And those are the people to have out there. I think they're doing a great job. But the whole thing is off. We have these great players who are playing. People are playing their hearts out and we're losing camp time, which I think is why a lot of fans like Australian Survivor, because you get way more camp life, and we're losing camp life and strategy to go to this island, which I just feel is falling flat for me. Like all the stuff that we're doing, it just seems silly, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't blame Boston Rob and Sandra. I want to be very clear on that. I think if you're going to have an Island of the Idols idea, obviously you're going to have those two out there. You know what I mean? Like they're legends. Mm-hmm. So.
Now, earlier this season, when we first got the chance to see Rob and Sandra's new house that Rob has been working on, I feel like that you had some skepticism about the Rob and Sandra house.
Yeah. So I do a radio program in upstate New York.
Yes.
After the episode in the man, boy, child with anyway, it doesn't matter. The name doesn't matter. But so, and they, you know, and I've been saying that they're not living out there. They've been asking me that question. I'm like, they're not living out there. They're not living out there. So
yeah.
They tag her in it and she listens to me saying that they're not living out there. Let me just rest assured, folks. I'm going to say this once and for all, because I felt so bad for Sandra. Mm-hmm. They are living out there. Yeah. I was completely wrong.
And then let me tell you how I got roped into this story was that I start, it was like a Survivor Thursday. I'm here minding my own business. And then I get a text on my phone from Sandra Diaz Twine. And she says, "What's Brett LaBelle's phone number?"
Oh, God, you threw me right under the bus, you son of a bitch. Yeah, because I got a phone call and I was with Zeke driving down to Spooky Bear and I get a call from Sandra and I'm like, oh, my God. And I go, I know why you're calling. And she's like, let me tell you something, Brett LaBelle. We lived out there the whole time. And I'm like, oh, my God, I love Sandra so much. And I'm like, I just want you to know that I love you. I just didn't love the island. You know what I mean? So, no, they were living out there. And that Boston Rob is one hell of a builder. And he's actually building that whole thing out there. But
I thought that they were going to make them live there at the merge. I thought, like, oh, okay, this is what they're going. Okay, Rob has this whole thing, and then they'll go live there. But it was like Rob built this whole like 2-story shelter, but they didn't do anything with it.
I know.
What a waste.
Why hasn't he built a two-story shelter in any of his other seasons if he can do it? You know what I mean?
Like, well, he has to go to tribal council. Thing. He has to, you know, like play Survivor.
That's true, too. That's true. He doesn't have the time. But I felt bad for saying it. I just couldn't imagine that, like, if they're going to have them out there, why would you make them live out there? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it didn't, yeah. just didn't resonate. And I'm like, wouldn't they be bored to tears out there doing that? But that's like at least with other survivors, when you're on playing Survivor, there's a lot of other people to interact with. I mean, right. just being with two people on it, it's like being deserted.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's like Castaway. So I'm shocked by it. But I want to apologize to Sandra, who I love.
Yeah. Well, I've been in Sandra's doghouse before, so I can tell you how it goes.
Well, I love that she that woman does not take it. If she hears something she doesn't like, she's calling you out. And I respect that. And I love her. But
and I gave her your number like in 5 seconds.
I know you did. Yeah. I know you did. And don't think I'm not going to remember that, Rob. Okay.
Hey.
Don't think I'm not going to remember that. When I come off of, you know, coming from my exit interview and I had to deal with Taryn, you left us high and dry, you know what I mean, Chris. So I remember these things, Rob. They never leave my head. You know what I mean?
Hey, that was extenuating circumstances. I was traveling. I had to spend the time with my family.
Yeah, I was traveling too, Rob. I was traveling all around the world, and I expected to have a Rob Has a Podcast exit interview with Rob Cesenino, not Taryn. I love Taryn, but it's just...
Okay.
Oh, God.
All right.
Anyway, no, but I do want to apologize to Sandra. She is they are great. And I tell you, that scene last week was awesome with the chicken fight with her.
Yes. Yeah. Here's Sandra versus the chicken.
Yeah.
What happened?
She bit my finger. This bitch bit my finger.
I love that. I watched that twice. I thought it was so funny. She's great. But yeah, she is not happy that I was saying that. So folks, rest assured, Boston Rob and Sandra are living out there since day one. So they've been living out there. They haven't showered. They haven't done anything. They're living out there.
Yeah.
Which is really amazing when you think of the rumors for season 40.
That's okay. Well, we're not gonna talk about that today.
No, we can't talk about that. Take it out, Rob. That out.
Okay. All right. Brett, do you think Rob and Sandra are doing okay out there?
No. Go.
This is your friend, the chicken.
Go. No, chicken. This is for me. Go. Go, chicken. She's stubborn. She reminds me of Boston Rob.
Yeah. This sounds like Brett LaBelle and Chris Hammonds living out there.
It does. Oh my God. Chris Hammonds and I would kill each other out there. And I'll tell you, I think they're probably getting sick of each other by now. And I think you see it like when they sit down at tribal and Rob's like, oh, my foot. Like she steps on his foot or something. He's like, ouch. Like you can see they're definitely gnawing on each other, which is great TV. So here's what I am going to say. I do love them sitting in the
booth.
Yes.
In a gallery.
I think this is something maybe we could get involved with. Like maybe... Randy Bailey and Corinne, like next.
I've heard that.
That'd be great. Yeah. You know, I just think like that's kind of cool. Like I kind of like that. You know, like a couple other survivors, their take on what's going on. Like that's kind of cool. So mm-hmm. I do that part. I could buy in for the Island of the Idols. I cannot.
Okay.
You know, let these guys play. Like let them play. We don't need to.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's day 30. They don't need. How much advice do they need?
Exactly. Yeah. They're in it.
Yeah. You know? Somehow that us survivors have figured out what to do by this point in time.
Yeah. I mean, the next thing you're gonna see is never mind. Go on. Okay. I'm gonna shut my mouth before I insert it.
Felipe wants to know who's the better giant ginger, Chris Hammonds or Tommy?
That's my buddy. That's my buddy Felipe. I bet he's a huge fan of the Drunk Tank. And I will say, who's the bigger or the better?
The better giant ginger.
Well, listen, I got to stick with my bitch, Chris Hammond. He is the best ginger that's ever played Survivor, and the bigger one. The guy's huge. He's 6'5", 300 something pounds. It's crazy.
He is. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. This is a question that comes to us from one of our listeners, Heidi Marshall on Twitter. She wanted to know, would Brett wear one of these amazing Team Dean t-shirts? Now, I hadn't seen these before, but if you go on over to DeanKowalski.com, there is an official Team Dean Survivor tie-dye shirt with a picture of Dean, and it's on a blue tie-dye. And that it's a wild shirt with a cartoon Dean, Team Dean. He's holding a torch. He's wearing like a Speedo. New York, via Westfield, New Jersey. Team Dean from Survivor at DK Chillin'.
Yeah, is it a shirt made by Johnny Fairplay? unfortunately, unless it's a shirt made by Johnny Fairplay, I can't get involved.
I don't know if you get a phone call.
They did get my attention with the Speedo, but no, I would definitely get it. Yeah, you don't get you get a phone call from Dean if you order a shirt.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. I ordered a shirt from Johnny Fairplay, and I totally forgot about this.
you ordered a shirt from Johnny Fairplay.
I did, yeah, back in the last season.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, the phone rings. I go, what is it? No. So I answer, I go, hello. He goes, you've ordered a shirt. You get your free phone call from Johnny Fairplay. I start dialing. I go, Johnny, you don't have to call me. I'm good, you know? He is a riot. He is a riot. Oh, God. I was actually just down with him and on him and Matt Bischoff's.
Yes, yeah.
Oh my God, we had so many laughs down there. He is a howl. We're throwing hatchets, Rob. They took me to a bar. We throw hatchets. It's yeah, crazy.
Yeah, was that fun?
Who doesn't want to throw hatchets with Johnny Fairplay? You know what I mean?
I think a few people want to throw hatchets at Johnny Fairplay.
Yeah, not this guy. I had a blast down there. So.
Yeah. Okay. All right, that's good. Let me know if anybody gets the Dean, the Team Dean t-shirt. I'd like to.
Yeah, you need to see that. I need to see that modeled for me. Maybe by Dean. You know what I mean? but no, I think I have to go. Now you got me intrigued. I want to see this thing.
Yeah, DeanKowalski.com. Click on the banner on the top of the page. Okay. You got to go to the t-shirt section.
Dean Kowalski has his own web page.
Yeah, you can book Dean also on DeanKowalski.com as a wedding officiant and MC or for social media partnerships. Boy, I know a lot of people that are getting married next year. Do you think any of them will have Dean as their wedding officiant?
Maybe. So does that mean he's like he can marry
all right, you? Hey, Dean, here's my marriage license. Like, oh, okay, well, I'm going to go and make a fake marriage license. And then I'll then at the wedding, I'll be like, drop the marriage license in the fire.
Yeah, but we'll come back in 6 days and we'll use the real marriage
marriage license. Wow. Well, this is great. Dean has been very fun on the show.
I agree. I think he's he is. He's very outspoken. He's he's been doing good. I've been enjoying him.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. So you know. Tommy's good too. I like Tommy.
Yes. Tommy's right there also. Do you feel like that does Tommy have what you're looking for from a winner? Is he have winner upside for you?
Yeah, I think Tommy's got a good shot, but I think the problem is he's got no place to hide anymore, and yeah. I think people are going to start gunning for him very soon, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think Janet's in trouble because nobody wants to see. I love Janet, by the way.
Yeah,
and I think she was great in the season, and I think that I really love that she's, you know, an older woman. And by the way, someone called her absolutely infuriated me. Someone was calling her an elderly woman. I'm like, elderly? Yeah, who was it? It was somebody who tweeted out about, what do you think about elderly people being on? I'm like, elderly? No one's not elderly. Like, what is with people? You know what I mean? It's like somebody's over the age of 30. They're elderly.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I'd really love to see her go far. But I think that people are keen if she shouldn't, you know, get to the end. You know what I mean?
Because mm-hmm.
she's got a lot to show, you know?
Yeah, so, especially when she comes back from Island of the Idols.
Right, exactly. So, yeah. Hopefully she has a trusty armpit.
Felipe had one other question for you. Which of Brett's non-Survivor castmates from Amazing Race 31 would do the best out in Fiji?
Well, they all were in Fiji.
Well, I'm the people that were from the Amazing Race that were not from Survivor.
Oh. Okay.
Who would do the best on Survivor?
Oh, that's easy. Okay. Well, I think Floyd. Floyd would do really well. He's a huge Survivor fan.
Mm-hmm.
I think Tyler. Tyler, definitely, just because who he is, he can talk to anybody. But Corey. Mm-hmm. Corey, savant when it comes to Survivor.
Okay.
Corey, cool. And he knows the game, and he knows the people. So I think he would do really well if you threw him out there. Floyd also. I think Becca would be really good on it. She knows nothing about it, but I think Becca would be really good on Survivor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So, what about El Fit Vic?
Vic? Nick and Vic, you know, I think it's tough for a Big Brother person because they're so used to being in the house and everything.
Yeah, but I know a Big Brother person that went on the show and he almost died.
Yeah, right. Cowboy guy there. I think Nick and Vic would do really well. They're like, don't let Nick trick you. Like she's very cunning and she knows what's going mm-hmm. on. So I think Nick and Vic could do really well out there too. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah.
And I'm proud of my boy Vic.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I mean, he's a monster in the challenges. Also, won a lot of challenges on Big Brother. Okay. So you were telling us about when you went to Las Vegas with Chris Hammonds and Randy.
Randy Bailey.
Yeah. How'd that go?
Well, I was out there with two degenerate gamblers. I mean, they're completely insane. I had to try and keep an eye on them, and
mm-hmm.
you know, if they're not playing the blackjack table or the craps, they're betting on sports. So it's crazy. But mm-hmm. We had a lot of fun. Randy Bailey is a howl. I cannot that guy cracks
me. Is he the
up.
Third wheel though? With when you and Chris Hammonds hang out?
Never. Randy's never the third wheel. He's very open to homosexuality and stuff like that. You know what I mean? It's very intriguing. We have a lot of fun. In fact, we learned how much fun we had. We went to that fundraiser last year.
Yes.
But none of us could make it. We had stuff going on. So Chris said, well, we'll just go out like some other time. So we picked a weekend and we went out. And but we'd learned the year before that me, Chris, and Randy love to gamble. And mm-hmm. and we have a lot of
You're
fun
a
doing
big gambler
it.
Too?
Oh, yeah. I love it. I mean, I pick my battles, Rob. Like I have my number and I'm like, all right, if you lose this, you stop. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty good at that. Chris Hammonds on the other hand is a nut, and he'll double down and try to get it back and everything. So he's completely insane. And mm-hmm. and Randy's not much better. Like Randy can't stand around the table and just watch. He literally he's there for a second. And he's thrown in, but it was a great time. We stayed at Caesar's Palace, and we had a really good weekend. A lot of fun. So
okay, well
I love Randy. I love it when you have him on too. He cracks me up.
Yeah, he's a classic. Now. Segueing from gambling to fantasy sports, Dominic Abate wrote in to say, how is Brett LaBelle still in playoff contention with his, I'll say, crappy team in hashtag Rotten Coconuts? That is the Survivor Fantasy Football League. Now, I saw that last week.
Typical New Yorker, Rob. Typical New York attitude coming through on that text.
From right me there. Or from Dominic?
No, from Dominic. No, yeah. Not from you, Rob. You're a good... We like Jets fans.
Yes.
He's just unbelievable. And I think this really shows his true colors, Tom. And... But listen, I'm scraping by like everyone else. Okay, yeah. I win some, I lose some, but I'm staying in it. Okay, I'm staying in it.
Well, you had the big grudge match last week. It was Team Brett's a loser versus Team Soulless Gingers, and Chris Hammonds has been killing it all season long. Only put up 84.8 points, and you pulled a real choke job. Couldn't even pull out the win.
And I know it was a bad week, but that's because I had so many people on a bye mm-hmm. and I could only pick up like this league's tough. Like if you're not thinking about it on Tuesday, you're not going to be able to pick anyone up for the weekend. You know mm-hmm. what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you have to do it by Thursday or something. So it's crazy. Yeah. And so I just had too many of my good players out, but I have some really strong players. And I think that, I let that one sneak by. It stinks that I was playing Team Brett the loser. Soulless Gingers, are pretty good, and it was just a bad week.
Yeah,
just
a bad. You're week. Right. You're right there. Six and six.
Tom needs to just chill out. Like, what's the hate?
He's been very unlucky this season. He's
but I'm not like killing it. I'm not crushing everyone. I'm just still in it. Like, sorry, bro. Take a seat, you know? And you're the one running it. Like, you couldn't rig it?
Yeah. You guys have like the same record. You have the same record, and he scored, I think, 300 more points than you this season.
Yeah, but you got to do when it counts. You know what I mean? So what can I say, Rob? You know, you're watching it too. I love this league.
I love this league also. Yeah, I've headed into, you know, potentially, if everything goes right this weekend, a first place finish going into the playoffs.
Wow, good for you. Yeah, so you're the team to beat.
Well, don't put that on me. I think it's still... give that to somebody else.
It is every now and then Shane
I'm playing Shane Powers this weekend.
He's funny.
The recent addition to the Fantasy Football League. All right, Brett, what else is going on? What do you have coming up this month? Where November is ending, December is coming up. I hear you're headed out this way.
I am. Yeah, I'm coming out for the finale show. So I met actually these people, wonderful people that I've met at a Rob Has a Podcast, one of my first live shows, mm-hmm. where I sing the anthem of the Know-It-Alls. You know that, Rob?
Yes.
So I've gotten to know them really well. They have a ticket. My friend Johnny and Nina, they are not married. I always say they're married. Mm-hmm. They're not married, folks. But they had an extra ticket and they offered me to go to the finale. So I'm going to the finale.
Yes.
And I'm going to, they've asked me, everyone's asked me, including Jeff, to come on for, I'm just kidding. But no, I will be in the audience, which is very exciting for me because I've, you know, the only other finale I've been to was my own, where it's like you're caught up in everything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so this is going to be interesting to kind of take a back seat and kind of watch everything that happens. And I think this is going to be a very interesting live show from what I'm seeing. And I'm not sure which way it's going to go. So I got my fingers crossed, Rob, you know, that everything goes safely and normal and we'll see. But so I'm interested. Yeah. I'm excited. When I'm going to go to the after show.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'll see you there. I don't think I'm going to be at this finale.
But you're going to go there. How can you, like, Rob, I love that we met the day I come off the mm-hmm. red cap.
Yeah.
At the last episode and got to meet you and Kim Spradlin, who did my little interview, which is still online, folks. It's a great interview. We had a lot of laughs.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so I'm excited to see you at the after party anyway.
Yes. Fun.
So I'll staying at Zeke's. So I'll be in the West Hollywood area, which is where my people stay usually, you know what I'm saying?
the Gen Xers.
Yes, the Gen Xers, exactly. So, we have, I guess the police cars have the little gay flag on it. So that sounds like my part of town. You know what I mean? So, I'm excited though, Rob. I come out a lot to LA and I do enjoy mm-hmm. it. I have a lot of friends out there now. So I do look forward to coming out there. And I don't have the time, but next time we should definitely plan on. I did enjoy going to your house and doing
well. Yeah, there was the one time, I guess it was last December you came out. I feel like that you and Chris Hammonds like usually like have your own party.
Right. We do. Yeah. Chris Hammonds, and then he hooks it up.
And then you came over here. You hitched a ride over to
Tucker Ferguson. Tucker Ferguson gave me a ride out. That's right. I forgot about that. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, we did the podcast that day. And we had a nice time and talked about everything. And people got very mad at me about why didn't I give Tyler the microphone? And if I'm going to have him on the podcast, why didn't I give him the microphone? And I did give him the microphone, but he just started pacing around the room and was still talking.
He's very bizarre, Tucker. And it's funny because
people were mad.
Well, yeah, but and they were mad, and I want to say he wasn't supposed to be on the podcast. He weaseled his little way onto the podcast like the Dirty 30 dude. That's what they do to you.
I didn't mind that he was here. He's always fun on the podcast, but that he just walked away from his microphone.
Right. No, I know. And it's like if you're gonna weasel your way in and you want to be on the podcast, then be on the podcast, Tucker. You know what I mean? Like, what is this nonsense? You know. And you know, I say this now, Rob, but you know, he listens and you know how sensitive he can be, especially you know, and I want to give a little shout out to my boy. He's been through a lot lately, but like, he's going to call and cry, or he's going to come on and he's going to say, Rob wanted me on. No, he weasels his way into my podcast. I had planned to be out there. Rob had asked me, Brett, The Rob Has a Podcast fans need you on here. They haven't heard from you in a while. They miss you. They really, you know, there's a need to have Brett LaBelle on the podcast. Will you come on? I was like, absolutely, Rob, I'll do that. Tucker offers me a ride the next day. I'm like, oh, okay, you don't have to do that. I could take an Uber. No, I'm going that way anyway. My brother lives out there. Okay, I jump in the car with him. We have a nice ride. He's calling every survivor under the sun to show me that he knows all kinds of survivors. Then we get to the house, and he pulls in, and we go upstairs, and next thing you know, he's, oh, I'm just going to come in and say hi to Rob and have a coffee. And then next thing you know, he's on the podcast. He knows
I didn't mind that he was on the podcast. I was happy that he was there. I didn't like it when people got mad at me and said I didn't give him a microphone.
Yeah, I know. But see what he does? See what he does? Now you're in trouble. Like, you let him on. He screws up by not putting the mic.
People are like, does Rob even know how to make a podcast? Why would he have a person there and then not give them a microphone?
It's crazy. See what he does to you? See what happens when you let Tucker into your life? It's just crazy.
I think Rob is bad at podcasting.
No, it's that Tucker can't hold the microphone in front of his mouth, for crying out loud. You know?
Okay. Well, I hope he's doing okay.
I know. Listen, he's been through a lot lately. I jest with him. I love that kid. He's been a good friend. So
yeah. Okay. What else? What else do we have to get into?
Well, we get
let me flip through my notes here.
Yeah. Well,
TV wants to know, can we arrange for Brett, Jack, and Jamal to sing the Know-It-Alls theme one day?
Yeah, listen, guys, I'm open to anyone who wants to sing. You know what I mean? Like, I think Wiggler did very well. Or Wanda, Wanda did it, that was fun. I get a lot of people giving me crap about how it sounds bad. I'm like, listen, I'm doing the best I can. Like, sometimes it's like we're preparing, we don't know.
You get nervous.
Yeah, listen, and then, you know, every now and then you don't know, like, it might be a guitar, it might be a piano. I don't know who I'm playing with till I get there. It's not all the time. But I think it's good. I think I enjoy it. Everyone, it gets the crowd going. That's what we're going for. Mm-hmm. We're not, you know, I never claim to be, you know, Frank Sinatra. You know what I'm saying? I'm Brett LaBelle, okay? I do the best I can. I think it's okay. Let's all just settle down. Why don't you come and do it better, Moses? You know what I mean? So, but no, I'm just kidding. No, but I would do it with anyone. Jamal, Jack, if he wants to come on, that's fine. We can all sing together, and it'd be great.
Yeah. My son was telling me that he was watching on YouTube the other day. He said, Dad, I watched the Know-It-Alls. I watched the one where your friend, the police officer, was singing the song.
Did he really?
Yeah. I said, did he know the words? He's like,
I love that when you said last time, you're like, Brett got almost all the words this time. I was like, you son of a bitch.
Megan Elizabeth wants to know, will you be the most drunk survivor at the Survivor Christmas party? And if not, who will be?
Well, I have been the most drunk survivor. Listen, the one thing I'll say about me, right?
Yes.
And I think, Rob, you enjoy this. Like, at the live Know-It-Alls, whether it's New York, Austin, Toronto, wherever we may be. If you go, listen, Rob's done a lot for me. So is Fishback. So when you know, these guys are tired, they want to go home. But who closes the bar?
You're the closer. Time? Yeah,
I close, and I'm always
the Mariana Rivera.
Exactly. Thank you. Someone has to give the Rob as a podcast patrons and the fans what they came here for. You know what I'm saying? And they don't want to be there and watch all the survivors run out 5 minutes after they started the party. No, yeah. Brett hangs in there. I'm standing by.
And you can hold your own.
I can hold my own.
Not an embarrassment ever.
Right. I'm not sloppy. I'm not, I don't get crazy. We have a good time. And I think that everyone will say that. Listen, look at John, right? And John, I love. Like, John brings me, you know, his old shirts and stuff like that. He's a very giving guy. John always gives me Chris Hammond's shirts and stuff like that. Rob is the podcast shirts and stuff. But the one thing I'll never forget, Rob, is when I was at Hot's Reality and John's on his phone. I walk by. I go, hey, John, what are you doing? He's like, oh, I'm waiting to talk to Rob. I go, what? Rob Cesarino? Give me that phone. You know, so I steal John's phone. I went around.
Yeah, that was great. The Facebook Friday. That was a great night. But let me ask you about the Survivor holiday party. Are you looking forward to it?
Yes, I am. And that's the after party, right?
No, no. That's the... are you going to the one in New York?
What is that?
I don't know if I want to give a...
Oh, you doing one?
No, I'm not doing it. Maybe you're not going to it.
No, I don't think I'm going to that. That's, I think that's this week, isn't it?
It's coming up soon. It's coming up
soon.
Yeah,
I don't think
we talked about it with Andrea, with Andrea and Dominic and Wendell putting it together in New York.
No. Unfortunately, Brett LaBelle will not be there.
Oh.
Because, I have to work.
See, I feel less bad about it. I can't be there if you're not going to be there.
No, but here's the thing, Rob. They did. I was invited. I just I can't make it because, I have no problem hopping the train.
Yeah, no, I didn't think they wouldn't invite you.
No. And I don't want them thinking I'm blowing this off. I literally cannot go because I have to work. I didn't really have a lot of notice. I don't think it was planned like 6 months in advance is what I'm getting.
Yeah, a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. And Rob, I did happen to notice that you have a new favorite word.
What is it?
Agency. You agency. Use the word agency a lot.
I feel like that's Survivor podcast talk. I feel like that, throw it around there a little bit.
Really? Okay. Maybe I just noticed it because two of my friends just wrote a book about the power of agency.
Power of agency.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I feel like we usually will use that word to talk about, and not just what happens, but, who was the person that made that thing happen, especially when we talk about like final tribal councils.
Yeah. It's interesting.
So
that's a good word, Rob. Very nice.
I can't take credit for, that most of what I've learned, I've heard a smarter person say it and then I just repeat it.
Yes. Well, that's good. And that helps with the podcasting. You know what I mean? Because then we think it's not,
Yeah.
Say one other thing is that I agree with Stephen Fishback.
About what?
Well, Shannon said, do you want to get to, you'd rather not get to the end with zero votes or something like that. And I totally disagree with her. I think you have to get to the end because you never know what's going to happen in this crazy world.
You don't know. You don't know how.
So I just want to, I wrote that down. You're like, what are we going to talk about? I just wrote it down that I agree with Stephen Fishback on that. Get to the end with zero votes over whatever I was talking about.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. Tell me about In the Drunk Tank. What's coming up? Is Trish and Dusty going to be on soon?
Well, Trish and Dusty are always welcome. Dusty's a lot of fun. Trish is crazy. But so Larry's been jet setting all over the place. He's been taking a little hiatus. So we're going to get him back in here. We got to reel him back in because I want to do Christmas with the Cops. So I'm hoping to do that. And we'll do a nice live. I mean, it won't technically be live.
How will that work? Like, will there be many police officers that come through?
Well, we'll get a lot of police officers in here to party and talk about stuff, but we do have like Joey Covino, who was a amazing racer. So
not like the coverage of his season on Robert's podcast. He thought we really got things wrong.
Yeah, Joey's very outspoken.
Yes, and, as your fellow amazing racer. In fairness, like we do the best we can. We get 42 minutes of a show, and then we have to figure out what happened.
Yeah, but I think Rob, I think that you guys have, and I think it makes sense why I think he's probably just mad because last season got a lot of coverage. But the reason
he was mad well before last season.
Oh, okay, all right.
I hope he's not still mad.
I don't know. But I think you guys do pretty good. I mean, I think last season was big. I mean, it was like it was Survivor versus Big Brother, two things that you cover, mostly.
Yeah.
Right?
Not since Whitney Duncan and Keith. I'm trying to remember what his last name was. When they did it with The Amazing Race, and they wouldn't talk to me when they did their exit interview.
Maybe that's why.
Oh, maybe you think they were he's friends with them?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe. I'll find out. I'm going to root around. I'm going to find out.
See if he's still upset.
Oh, he's always upset. He's mad about my lamp. I have he tweeted something out or put on a video about that I'm a gay guy and I can't decorate and everything. I'm like, Joey, you're out of your mind. But he's kind of right in some ways because I have this Walking Dead lamp that someone gave me.
Yeah.
And I think it's cool. It's in my like man cave in the basement. And he was all over me. And he's like, what kind of a person has a, this is awful. How do you decorate with this? I'm like, wait a minute, who's the gay guy now? Like, you're worried about my decorations in my man cave?
This is like a Christmas story.
this is like the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard of. I go, I like my, because it's like a hand coming out of the thing. I like my Walking Dead lamp. It's cool. You know,
now, when he comes to visit, has he accidentally knocked your lamp over?
Oh, God. Yeah. I mean, the kid, he's a nut. I can't even get involved with what happened when he was here for the live show. It was crazy. We literally had to ask him to leave. He's crazy. He's completely crazy. But he's a lot of fun, and he's funny on the podcast. If you listen to number 10, you'll get to hear Joey Covino. But, yeah, so he's probably going to be here for that. So I'm hoping I can get Chris with the cops in. But I'll tell you, it's hard to get Larry in here. And I got to get two episodes out for December. But we're having a lot of fun with it. The fans seem to be really enjoying it. And it's fun. It's not like, again, if you're looking for all Survivor, don't look here.
Yeah.
Go to Rob as a podcast, because in the Drunk Tank with Brett and Larry, we talk about a lot of stuff, but it's not going to be reality shows all the time, you know?
So. Right. Yeah. I mean, do you ever talk about reality shows?
Well, we've been teasing that we're going to talk about. Larry's a big fan of, what's that one with Lisa Vanderpump Rules? And I'm like, I can't even like wrap my head around why a grown man is watching that show. But so we got to delve into that a little bit. We do talk about Survivor. I had Rick Devons on. I've had some Survivor. Yeah, Rick was good. Rick was really good. And you know, so we've had some people on, but we just don't do it all the time. We talk about like trips we've been on, and Larry's very funny. He's a good storyteller. Yeah. So if you're just looking to like. It's a quick hit. It's usually about an hour. If you're looking to just pass the time, maybe at work or have a laugh. Be careful, though, because some of the stuff's so funny, you might start laughing out loud and people are going to look at you weird, you know? Yeah. So.
Jason Oreck wanted to write in to say, what does Larry think of Rob? Is that because Larry was at the last Know-It-Alls?
Yeah, well, Larry's a huge fan of Rob. Rob's helped us out. I mean, Rob, we've
Boston Rob. What does Larry think of Boston Rob?
Oh yeah, Larry doesn't know. Larry doesn't watch Survivor. He watched it when I was on it. He liked it, but he's not a big Survivor fan.
Did you tell him there's a statue of a guy from Boston that's on the? Maybe that could get him to watch it.
Yeah, I have to see if he's even in on this, because the guys that like I walked into the break room and someone had it on, so maybe he's watched it at work. I don't know. So, but. I don't know. I that's a good question. I don't know what Larry would say about Boss Rob. To be honest with you, I don't even think he knows who he is. That's bad.
That's a good bit for the show. You should hold up a picture of him and see if he knows who this guy is.
That's a great idea. I'm writing that down as we speak. See, Rob, this is why you're a podcast genius.
Yeah, you know, like hold up pictures of a bunch of different famous Survivor people and see how many Larry can get.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I guarantee it's none. Now, and then if you hold up a picture of Betty Buckley, he'll know who it is.
Right. One of the Vanderpumps.
Oh my God! Yeah, yeah, some other crazy person like Linda Etta. Who's ever heard of Linda Etta?
I don't know who that is. Linda Etta.
Linda Etta.
Is she on? Is she on the Vanderpump?
No, she's a singer, but he knows it. Like he listens to her all the time. I'm just like, who listens to these people? Like you're crazy.
Etta or Etta?
Linda Etta.
With D's?
Linda Etta. I think it's T's. Hold on. Let me goggle it.
Yeah, goggle it real quick.
Linda Etta.
Yeah. I don't know who that is.
But she's a singer. I think she does like show tunes.
Okay. I don't know. My goggle isn't coming up with
No, I'm sorry. L-I-N-D-A-E-D-E-R. Linda Etta.
Etter.
Yeah.
Oh, why didn't you say so? Of course, Linda. Linda Etter.
She's an American singer and actress. She's on Broadway, so she's a.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
So, So I don't think Larry's going to know Survivor, but it's a good question. I think I'm going to do that with the hang a picture of Boss Rob. I guarantee he's like, I don't know who the hell that is.
Okay. All right, Brett. Anything else you want to talk about?
Well, Rob, I think we've hit it all. I mean, this has been a trying season. It's tough. A lot of people, but I want to say, listen, we'll all get through it, right? This is what Survivor is. We've had our ups and downs, and we're on to next season after this. And we'll see. But I love a lot of these players, Rob. I do. I really do. I think there's a
lot
of really
favorite.
Good.
Who's your favorite from this season?
Man, I really like Tommy. And I really like Janet. Mm-hmm. You know, I like Aaron too. I think Aaron's really funny too. I did you see that tweet he did with Randy Bailey?
That was funny. Yeah,
that was hysterical. So I liked Aaron a lot. I think he overplayed it. Same with Missy.
The Randy bit.
No. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But no, I think there's a lot of really likable characters in this, you know?
Yeah, I know. In another world where, you know, this whole situation either didn't happen or was handled better, then, you know, I think we have a much different opinion about this season. But it was nice. We got to come on, had a lot of laughs today talking about everything from this week. And I really appreciate that, Brett.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I'm psyched that you had me on. I love being on Rob as a podcast, love helping out, and I love the fans. I have more fun with the fans, whether it's John at the Hot Reality or it's Johnny Lou at the live shows in New York. Mm-hmm. You know, all good people. Mo, I haven't seen Mo in a while. I hope she's doing all right. And, you know, everyone's great.
Yeah.
You know?
All right. Well, and then when you're in LA, I was gonna say we can go out to breakfast, but that's not your
Jim, my boy Jim. Love him too. Gotta say I gotta go through the whole list. Now I feel like I'm leaving people out. This is awful. what were you saying?
We should go out to breakfast when breakfast for dinner when you're here.
Yeah, no, we won't be doing that. If you want to go to breakfast, we'll go to breakfast. If not, let's go grab a steak somewhere or something like that, you know? or a hamburger with an egg on it. I could deal with that.
You got okay? it. Okay,
that's really good, by the way, if you ever get a chance.
Hamburger with an egg, I've had that.
Yeah, it's good, right? Yeah. It adds a little something.
You can get that at Fat Burger, and they'll throw an egg on there for you.
Yeah, I'm trying to stay away from anything fat though right now, so I probably wouldn't eat a Fat Burger.
Fat Burger is my favorite burger place.
Is it good?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, is it like a chain?
Yeah, it's a chain. Yeah.
Oh, I have to try that. It's out there.
Yeah, Fat Burger, Fat Fries. So it's the way to go.
Is it better than In-N-Out?
I'm not a huge In-N-Out guy. I know people swear by In-N-Out, but I think it's just it's fine.
No, Rob, I agree with you. It's got to be a Northeast thing. I'm not a fan of it either. Yeah. I'm like, what? Like, you do it
because
you're
in the line is you can, you know, try and get In-N-Out. You can't. You'll be there for an hour.
And I'm a huge Big Lebowski fan, so I was always wanted to try it, And when we were doing our, you know, Survivor thing, I was out there and we all ran over there and I was like, this is not that great.
Yeah, it's too much hype on In-N-Out. Yeah. But I'm going to get dragged now.
No, we both are. But I'm used to it.
I managed to navigate through the Survivor controversy, and then In-N-Out Burger is what's going to bring me down.
Yeah, well, listen, I'm constantly getting dragged through the mud, so I don't even care anymore. I don't care. The fans who like me, especially the Rob is a podcast fan, so I'm not going to say nothing, you know?
All right. Brett LaBelle. You can follow him on Twitter. He's at Brett LaBelle. Find out if he's going to end up making the playoffs in the Rotten Coconuts Fantasy Football League, that somehow he still has a chance to ultimately pull through. If
to everyone's dismay,
Team Soulless Ginger, I think they need some help. They got playing Dalton Ross, gonna knock him off this weekend and get some help.
Yes, there you go. That would help.
Yep. I need a Dominic Abate loss also, who's playing Rodney. So that's a possibility.
That's definitely a possibility. Anytime a New Yorker loses, I'm happy. Besides you, Rob. I'm sorry.
Thank you. All right.
I just, Dom's been, you know, like, what's he doing? Like, what's he tweeting out for? Come on, stop it.
Who?
You know what I mean? Oh, I'm just messing with me when I'm going to be on Robert's podcast. You know what I mean?
Trying to throw you off your game.
Yeah, exactly. He's trying to throw me off my game, trying to get my mind. You can't get in my head, Dom. You can't get in my head, bud. I'm sorry. All right.
All right. Thank you guys so much for listening. We're going to do This Week in Survivor with Jeopardy champion Alex Jacobs is going to join us on This Week in Survivor this week as we then get ready for our next live show. It won't be the same without Brett LaBelle, but we'll be there at the Brea Improv on Wednesday night. You can still get tickets. Rob has a website.com/Brea for that. And of course, everything going on in our patron group as well. Rob has a website.com/patron. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
At the top pit? You going to the tar pits?
Trusty tar pits this weekend. All right. Take care, everybody. Bye.